All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel all right. I feel all right tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Wednesday morning. And that means Wild Card Wednesday. That means any artist, any song, anything. Get your requests in now, and we'll play them a little bit later on. That's 312-981-7200 for Wild Card Wednesday. 312-981-7200. Welcome to the show, everybody. We are going to be visiting with Matt Stork, who is one of the coordinators of the Windy City Horrorama Festival, which is taking place this weekend at the Davis Theater at 4614 North Lincoln. It's a celebration of horror films, of independent horror movies and older horror movies. And they've got a really great schedule. It starts on Friday and it runs through Sunday with some really cool events and some really cool screenings of new and classic horror movies. He is also the writer-director of a horror film called Take Back the Knife, which we'll talk a little bit about that. So we're talking horror and Windy City Horrorama. And because we're talking horror, we're gonna continue to talk horror after we talk with Matt. I have an article here about a bunch of horror movies that are so sick and twisted that you'll never be able to unsee them. So we want to talk about some of the most twisted and sick horror movies that you've ever seen. And then I put together what my thoughts on some of the best acting performances in horror movies. You know, the Academy usually ignores horror movies. They don't take them very seriously. And there have been some really, really incredible award-worthy performances in the genre. And I've got a lot of them that I thought of and put down, on paper here. And there have been so many great acting performances in the horror genre and the comedy genre don't get the respect that they deserve from the Academy. And a lot of, like, serious awards ignore horror, especially, and comedy, but horror especially. Like, you can't give great performances in horror movies, and it's just not true. There have been some really amazing acting performances in the horror genre, a genre that doesn't get as much respect as it should. And within the horror genre, the acting doesn't get the kind of respect that it should, simply because people dismiss horror movies as, you know, a dumb genre or a B genre. Therefore, the people acting in them aren't really given a good performance, which is a bunch of nonsense, actually. So we're going to talk about sick and twisted horror movies. We are also going to talk about the best acting performances in horror movies. And we'll discuss the Windy City Horrorama with Matt Stork right here. That's coming up. Also, we didn't get to the crazy things that were found in thrift shops. So if we have enough time, we'll jump into that topic as well. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to talk with us or text with us at any time. 312-981-7200. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. That's happening. So that's any artist, any song, anything. So get your requests in. We'll play them later. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for that. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. You can stay connected with us on Facebook, which is probably the best way to stay connected with us, in fact, and that's Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. And you should actually subscribe to our podcasts. Every single second of every show is podcast. And So we put them up usually the morning after the show, and you can listen to it at your leisure, bro. So it's free. Go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We have lots of people listen to our podcasts, and we're very grateful and thankful that you do that for us. And so if you haven't, please do. It's easy. You subscribe. It's free. It automatically gets sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So we're doing a lot of horror stuff this morning here, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're a horror fan, you know, I want to hear from you guys a little bit later on with the most sick and twisted horror movies that you've ever seen. And then we're going to talk about, like, some serious acting chops in some serious horror movies. And, man, I put together a list that is pretty long. So, because I think there are a lot of really grossly underrated performances from the genre of horror, which I think is a genre that deserves more respect than it gets. So that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Tom Hush is out this morning. He'll be back again tomorrow, but he's got the morning off, and so sitting in this morning, actually producing, is Sammy. Sammy's back and producing, so you'll be talking to him when you call in at 312-981-7200. So good morning, Sammy. Just want to say hi to you. I know you're getting some phone calls.
Hey, good morning, Nick. Pleasure to be aboard today.
All right, buddy. Take care. We're here all morning, here till 5. Sammy's producing in the newsroom. Is my buddy Vic Vaughn. Vic, how are you, man?
Doing very well, sir.
Yeah. How about the Cubs are over 500 for the first time since opening day?
Yeah. I wanted to see when they were last in the win column.
Yeah.
That was opening day.
It was opening day. It was the only time they were ever over 500 for the entire season so far. But they went over 500 last night. And the encouraging thing was they looked great. Quintana looked great. And they played a really good team.
That's yes.
You know, when you sweep the Marlins,
right,
that's one thing. But when you can play as well as, you know, offensively and defensively as they did with the pitching that they had last night against a really good team, that's encouraging. And it was fun to watch. And again, man, did you see Baez's move to avoid the tag running to first?
So I slept through the whole game.
Well, you should look it up online. You should look it up online.
I'm going to watch the whole game again.
Yeah. I mean, but like, you know, El Mago did something that, you know, only he can do. He hit a dribbler to first, and he avoided the tag by doing like a linebacker move, and he didn't get called for getting out of the baseline or anything. They said it was fine, and he got to first and avoided the tag, got a single out of the deal.
Oh, it was at first that he did
first.
This move.
Yeah,
it was. I was thinking it was another Baez slide.
No. This was a different kind of thing altogether.
We'll have to see this.
A crazy different kind of thing. He just sidestepped a tag attempt on his way to first and got a single out of a dribbler.
What did the first baseman do?
The manager of the Dodgers came out and started screaming because said that he went out of the baseline,
right.
And that he shouldn't have gone out of the baseline. But there were three umpires looking at it, and they didn't say anything. And so they came out and argued, but they didn't appeal, and he was safe. Just crazy. Contreras, got a big three-run double in the first inning of the game, and they just piled it on.
He's been doing it too this year.
Yeah, and Rizzo came back.
That's good to hear.
He had a two-run shot last night, and Bryant's got to get his bat going again. So does Schwarber. They're both kind of a little mm-hmm. shaky. But the other guys, you know, the guys in the seventh and eighth slots are actually coming through and helping. So
good news.
Yeah, it was a fun game. Fun game. They play again tonight. At Wrigley, and then Thursday's game, tomorrow's game is a day game, right? Because I think it was two night games and a day game.
I don't know. I know tonight's is
7:05. Yeah, tonight's 7:05, but I think Thursday's a day game, if I'm not mistaken. So, all right.
Yeah, 1:20. Yep. Okay. Cool.
Very cool. All right. Why don't we take a break here, because we're going to be talking about horror movies, but there's this really cool thing that's happening this weekend, and it's called the Windy City Horrorama. Our guest is here, correct? Okay. He's in the PPG Paints Green Room, PPG Paints Green Room, and it's Matt Stork, and he is also the writer and director of a movie called Take Back the Knife. So we're doing horror stuff this morning, and we'll tell you how you can get tickets for the Windy City Horrorama and give you the whole schedule, too. 312-981-7200 for talk and tech. Everybody, and it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're doing some horror film stuff this morning. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about movies that are so sick and twisted that you can never unsee them. And then I put together a really big list of really legitimately great acting performances that are in an unrespected genre like horror. And speaking of horror, the Windy City Horrorama is this weekend, April 26th through the 28th, at the Davis Theater, the beautiful Davis Theater on 4614 on Lincoln Avenue. We'll tell you how you can get passes and individual tickets, and we'll give you the whole schedule as well, because Mark Stork is with us from the Windy City Horrorama. He's the Chicago Events Coordinator for HorrorSociety.com and also a staff writer and a filmmaker himself. And let's welcome Matt to the show. Matt, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming down.
Yeah.
All right. So you were telling me off the air that this is just the second year for the Windy City Horrorama.
Correct. We are second year, but we try not to, you know, look like it. We want to look like we've been around forever.
Yeah. Well, the website certainly doesn't look like it's a second year fest. I can tell you that because I perused the website really, really beautifully organized, and it looks cool. And you guys have put together a pretty cool weekend.
Thank you. Yeah. We're really excited about it.
Yeah. Davis Theater. Was it at the Davis last year too?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a beautiful theater, man.
It's incredible.
I grew up going to that theater.
It's the best. Like, same. Me too.
Yeah.
I've always been in Chicago. Wanted to bring a fest there, like, out the gate. And as soon as they took us in, they've been nothing but incredible too. They're like an awesome theater.
When they did the remodeling and stuff, they did such a beautiful job with it. They really did. And I mean, I grew up going to that theater when it was a dump in the 70s. And it was just one theater. It wasn't multiple theaters. It was just one big theater. And I can't tell you the number of horror movies that I saw at the Davis. All the weird 70s horror movies right there at the Davis. They had double features every weekend. And my friend Dan and I would go every weekend. We would stop at the Hild Library, which is where now the old Town School of Folk is.
Okay.
That used to be a beautiful library called the Hild Library. We'd go there, and then we'd go see whatever the double feature was at the Davis every Saturday. And horror is my favorite genre of all time. How did you get into horror?
I feel like this is a lot of people's stories, but it was being too young and just walking in on a horror movie that was on TV. I specifically remember that it was Bloodlust Subspecies 3, so one of the Charlie Band full moon movies.
Sure, man.
And it terrified me. Mm-hmm. And like the vampire with the long fingers and the blood, just like every word he said, there was spraying blood out of his mouth. And getting scared like that got me hooked, though.
Yeah.
Then I needed more.
That's exactly how it happens, I think. I mean, I'm much older than you. I'm 53. I'm going to be 54 in July. And so when I was a little kid, it was the Universal horror films that they would show on Creature Features and the original Svengoolie before Rich took over. And that was like my gateway, was the original old Universal movies. And then my life kind of changed when I saw the Hammer movies. That was when everything, because, you know, it was the same, you know, they did the same legends. They did your Draculas, they did your Frankensteins, but there was boobs and it was in color and there was blood and Peter Cushing and it all. That's when I became hooked. And I saw stuff at a young age that I shouldn't have seen, which I famously told this story many times on the air. My dad took me to see The Exorcist when I was 8. So
that'll do it.
Yeah,
that'll get you hooked.
That's absolutely right. You said you're from Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah. The city?
Yeah, I grew up in Jefferson Park.
Oh, cool. Well,
yeah. Northwest Side.
Beautiful. You ever go to Gale Street Inn?
Yeah, all the time.
It's the best.
It's still the best.
It's the best. It's the best restaurant on the planet, man.
And it really is.
George Carrs is a good friend of mine, the guy who runs the place.
Nice.
And it's my favorite restaurant. So, all right. So you Northwest Side. Where'd you go to school?
I went to St. Robert's over there for grade school, mm-hmm. and then I went to Lane Tech.
You're a Lane Tech grad.
That's right.
Patty Vasquez, who's on before me, went to Lane Tech.
Nice. It's also the best.
Yeah. I was going to go to Lane, but I ended up going to Luther North over on the Northwest
side.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
So, but yeah. So the horror genre. So what happened after that? What did you dive into after you saw the Charlie Band stuff? By the way, Charlie Band is always at our. I'm one of the hosts at the Flashback Horror.
Yeah, I see you all the time.
Oh,
I'm there every year.
Oh, okay.
I haven't missed a year there.
Okay, cool. Well, there you go. So you know. But anyway, Charlie Band's been there a bunch of times,
yeah.
And I don't know if he's coming this year. I'm not really sure. Do you know? Have you seen the lineup for Flashback this year?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
How did we get that?
I don't know, but I'm there. Ticket sold. Done.
Bruce Campbell, Sam Raimi, Ted Raimi, Robert Englund, who's been such a friend to the Flashback convention. We got the Candyman reunion with Virginia Madsen, Tony Todd. Lance Hendrickson is going to be there. It's a great lineup this year, a really, really great lineup. So it's, by the way, it's the first weekend in April for people who are interested. It's the Crown Plaza Hotel. It's always a good time.
Yeah.
Always.
Can attest.
No, it's great. It's great. It's great. And the vending room is, the vendors are fantastic. They have all kinds of really cool stuff. It's a fun weekend. So what did you do after you, what happened there?
It's our most dangerous addiction.
All right. No idea what that was. Anyway, what did you dive into after the Charlie Band stuff?
Yeah, I would definitely say after sort of Subspecies, then it did become the Full Moon Universe.
Of course.
You know, then I had to see all of them. I can't really pinpoint after that sort of what it was, because it was kind of anything I could get my hands on.
Sure.
So it was still the Universal Monsters, but then it was the stuff that had been coming out when, you know, I was born. So it was like Halloween 5 and like, you know, Friday 8, you know, those kind of stuff that was coming out in like the late 80s, early 90s. So that's kind of what I first started digging into, kind of past.
And this is, we're talking like what, VHS?
So
that it was just one of those deals where it's like, I'm renting everything that I can possibly get my hands on.
Yeah, and I mean, it was definitely sold on every cover, you know, judging every book by its cover, every VHS by its cover. Whatever that had the most lurid cover art was definitely what I was attracted to.
And, you know, at that period that you're talking about, so many straight to video horror movies, you know, that so many people have never even heard of, but there were, you could literally choose from hundreds of horror movies at that time, whether they were theatrical releases that were finally out on video or straight to video stuff. And you dove into everything. Yeah.
Any of it, like the low budget stuff, like the backyard movie stuff, all the way up to, you know, the Hollywood stuff and the sequels and everything like that. Yeah. All of it.
All right, cool. All right. Well, let's talk about your favorites. What are some of your, give me some of your favorite horror movies. If you want to split it up by genre, you can, or type or whatever. What are some of your favorites? Which ones hop out at you?
I always land with the stuff with humor. I always go to Reanimator is one. Evil Dead, the original, is one. Beetlejuice, which I don't think gets enough credit in the horror genre.
I agree.
Is one of my favorites. And my all-time favorite movie, this is kind of a weird one, but my all-time favorite movie, I always say, if I don't say Evil Dead, I say In the Mouth of Madness.
Oh, man, please.
That's one of my favorites.
I will tell you right now, I'll give you a little, you know, because I'm going to be talking about great acting performances in movies, I put Sam Neill on the list, because he's unbelievable in that movie.
Absolutely.
And that's one of Carpenter's really underrated films.
I think so.
And just like really creepy and really scary and also very funny and twisted, and Charlton Heston's in it.
Yeah. So can't beat that.
No, you can't. You can't. And it's very, you know, obviously very Lovecraftian in ways that a lot of actual Lovecraft adaptations aren't.
Yeah.
Like, he captured it without action. It wasn't really based on, I mean, it was very in the style of Lovecraft without question, but he totally nailed it. I love that film. I really do. I'm actually quoted on the box.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, well, I have it. I've got the VHS and the DVD.
Well, okay,
so there you
look at it. I'm right there. I think I'm on the front, if I'm not mistaken. I think
amazing.
I'm quoted on the front on that. So, what did you think of the remake of Suspiria?
I didn't like it.
No, really?
I didn't. I wanted to, because I don't care. You know, if a remake's good, it's good.
Yeah.
We've had The Thing, The Fly, to prove that you can do a good remake. Even the new Evil Dead I liked a lot.
Me too.
So I wanted to like Suspiria a whole lot. It just didn't do it for me.
I loved it. The thing is, I was very negative about it, because Suspiria, I think, is the scariest. It's the scariest movie I've ever seen, and it's one of my favorite movies of all time. And you can't reproduce Dario Argento. It's just stupid to even try to do it. So when I heard that they were remaking it, I'm like, oh man, this is the worst idea ever. And I was very, very negative. So my expectations were really low, because I went in, you know, about to hate it, because it was one of those how dare you things. Because that movie, is the original Suspiria, is so special to me, and I love Argento's work, and he's so distinctive. But Luca went in a completely different direction, and I thought it was great. I thought it was bat crap crazy. The last 15 minutes I thought was fantastic. And I thought there were, you know, I love the fact that he politicized it. I thought that was cool. The subtext of that time in Berlin and what was going on there. And he went in an entirely different direction with it. I love the fact that it's 2.5 hours long. I don't know. I just thought it was great. And it was the one remake that I was most negative about beforehand. I was excited about the Halloween reboot, but I hated that.
And see, I love that one.
See, I hated that. They turned him like into Jason. It was, you know, it was, way too violent, and yeah, I thought it was terrible.
And so we're flipped on our recent remakes.
And I absolutely, but I also, while I was watching the reboot, the Halloween reboot, I just kept thinking to myself, why would Laurie Strode live in a house with so many slatted closets? That just makes no sense whatsoever.
Because they look cool when the light comes in.
Maybe she sleeps in there. I don't know. That's it. So, and I'm a big Jamie Lee Curtis fan too. I love her. She's my favorite. But man, that one. What about some other recent stuff? What have you liked? Did you like Us?
Oh, loved Us.
Yeah.
I think Get Out is a masterpiece, and I don't think he quite hit that level with Us, but I loved it still. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
How about Hereditary?
I loved it, mm-hmm. but not as much as some of sort of my, you know, friends that like all the horror stuff that like worshipped it. I was like, I like it.
I'm with your friends. I think that movie is amazing.
Yeah.
What about, we just had, what else did we do with that? La Llorona?
Didn't see it. It's going Thursday.
It's okay. It's, you know, it's all right. It's the Conjuring stuff, yeah. PG-13 yeah. kind of jump scare thing. It's fine. I'm trying to think recently, some of the other more recent ones, like It Follows is one of my favorites from the past few years.
Yeah, that movie's incredible.
The Babadook is also one of my favorites. I think it's been a pretty strong time for horror.
Oh, I agree. Especially, like, not so much like indie, but this mid-level of, like, you know, It Follows and Babadook. They're coming out, like, these mid-low-budget range.
Yeah.
But they're all coming out great.
I actually think we're kind of in a renaissance for horror.
Yeah.
I really do. Okay. Hang out for a second here, Matt. We got to take a break for the news. Matt Stork is with us. He's actually made a horror film himself. He is the coordinator, a Chicago events coordinator for Horror Society. And we're going to tell you all the details on the Windy City Horror-Rama, which is happening this weekend at the Davis Theater. That's all coming up after the news, which is after this. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio on this Wednesday morning. Wildcard Wednesday, everybody. Yeah. Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything. Get them in, and we'll play them a little bit later. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're doing some horror movie stuff this morning because we're talking right now with Matt Stork, who is the Chicago Events Coordinator for HorrorSociety.com and is part of the Windy City Horror-Rama Fest that's happening this weekend, the 26th through the 28th at the Davis Theater on Lincoln Avenue. And then after we're done talking with Matt, we're going to open up the phone lines and talk about horror movies that are so sick and twisted that you'll never be able to unsee them, and then some of the best acting performances that you'll find in horror movies as well. But let's welcome Matt back. Matt, welcome back, man.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's the second year of Windy City Horror-Rama. Tell me how the whole thing started.
Whole thing started was I was doing a monthly screening series at Bucket of Blood Books and Records, mm-hmm. And at the Avondale neighborhood. They have a great little event space in the back. So I've been doing screenings there for a couple of years, and I sort of always had this bucket list item to have like a fest. I go to a lot of horror fests in the Midwest and stuff like that, and because I love it. I love horror movies. So it just had been something I wanted to do. And I sat down with my buddy Alex, who I worked with previously at the Chicago International Film Festival, and he was still there and I had left, but I was like, hey man, let's start our own thing. And then just sort of like out of just putting it in the universe, it happened.
Yeah.
We did it. We got a small team together, and we're working with the same team again for year two. And we just made it happen with duct tape and goodwill and hope that it would work.
Yeah. And tell me about last year's fest. What were some of the highlights? What movies did you show? What were the guests?
So last year we kicked in opening night with Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday, which is my favorite Friday sequel, which I don't think the movie gets enough love. And we brought in Adam Marcus, the director, and we followed that up with his new movie, Secret Santa, which he co-wrote with his partner, Deborah Sullivan, who also came in. Super fun.
Yeah.
Super crazy movie.
Yeah.
And then we had, I'm trying to think of Saturday. We did a full moon retrospect.
Oh,
we did Lurking Fear. I always go back to the Lovecrafts. It's weird. I guess I didn't know that about myself, but as we've just shortly talked about it, I think I'm realizing how much of a Lovecraft fan
I am. Oh, yeah.
We played the 1988, The Blob. And we had...
which is superior to the original.
Agree, 100%. Yeah, yeah. And we had a bunch of other premieres. We showed a movie called Dead Aunt, which has Jake Busey and... Who's my favorite? Jake Busey and Sean Astin is in that. Super fun, crazy 50s Killer Ant movie as they're chasing like an 80s hair metal band. It's incredible. The director came in for that and several other premieres.
That's very cool, man. Very cool. I've had Jake in studio, Jake Busey, and he's great. And I actually ended up, I've told this story on the air a million times, but I ended up hanging out with Gary Busey for a week.
Nice.
He was in town shooting Rookie of the Year, the mm-hmm. Chicago Cubs movie. And I met him at a bar, and then he ended up taking a liking to me, and I ended up hanging out with him for a week. And so whatever you think that would be like to hang out with Gary Busey for a week, double it, triple it, multiply it by 1,000, and you're in the ballpark, kind of.
And you're still here. You
exactly.
To talk about
exactly. And so I mentioned when Jake was in the studio, I mentioned, I was like, you know, I spent a week hanging out with your dad, and he just goes, oh, boy. that was his response. Well, that sounds like a really great way to kick off, the event. That sounds great, man.
Yeah, it was a really great first year. A lot of support from, like, the horror community, which they welcomed us with open arms, which was great. And it was enough sort of on the business side of things and just on the fanfare side of things that we were like, we have to do another year.
Yeah.
Got to do it again.
That's great, man. And was it around this time last year as well?
Yeah, it was the same weekend, Avengers weekend. They keep moving it up to our weekend after they announce they're going to be the first weekend in May. And we're like, cool, we'll do the weekend before that. Nope, here's Avengers.
so you competed with Infinity War last year.
We competed with Infinity War and we survived. So.
Oh, good. Well, you'll do it again this year.
That's right.
Yeah, you'll do it again this year. You know why? Because there, you know, people can go, there's like, I think it's 20 theaters in the Chicago area that are going 24 hours or all weekend where they're not going to close.
Yeah.
And they're going to, so they're, the, you know, people can go to your fest and then go to a 3 a.m. showing of Avengers.
Exactly. Like, Avengers is still going to be around Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Of course.
Well, you've only got these Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you got to come see us.
You got to go to the Windy City Horrorama. And you can check out WindyCityHorrorama.com for all the information that you need. Before we jump into the schedule and the guests, and I want to talk all about it and tell people how they can get tickets and all that stuff, tell me about Take Back the Knife. This is a movie that you wrote and directed. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we shot most of it in 2013, and like all these other things, in 2014 we ended up shooting some more stuff. 2015 we kind of finished it and started doing the fest circuit. 2016 we came out, we got distribution. It is a feminist revenge movie. It's three girls who have all survived, sort of been final girls of their own stories, that come together for a weekend outing in the woods. Someone shows up thinking, oh, these girls in the woods, but they've survived this thing before, so they turn it on the killer. And it was a slasher send up that something I always wanted to do. The final girls have always been my favorite part of the slasher genre, and I wanted to kind of give them a movie that was their own.
Yeah.
So we had to create these backstories for these three girls that are the stars, and give them a formidable killer to face them. And I had a blast doing it.
Was it shot here?
Shot in here in Naperville.
Okay, and local talent?
Yeah, all local talent. I went to Columbia College down the street here, and a lot of the people that were involved in that came from there.
All right, and so who are some of the cast members?
It's two of the people that work on the fest with me. It's Ashley Nickel and Emily Rochester. They're still helping out with Horrorama, and then Amy Wilson is the third of the girls in the movie.
Very cool. And so the response has been pretty good.
Yeah, people seem to like it. Yeah. We had a nice, like I said, fest circuit in 2015. We played like four different fests around the country. When we got distribution, the feedback was really good. I promise that when I make another movie, that won't take 5 years again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's sometimes out of necessity, man.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it took Sam Raimi forever to do Evil Dead. And it also took forever for that movie to get distributed.
Right.
So. But so you're in good company.
Yeah.
Have you got any other ideas of what you want to do next as a filmmaker?
Yeah. As soon as this fest is over, I've got this kind of horror spoofy kind of thing. Not spoofy, haha, but maybe more satire in the vein of Scream, but pretty completely different that I want to get started on as soon as this fest is over.
Okay. All right. So you gravitate towards the humor stuff then?
I do.
Yeah.
I've tried throughout my shorts and stuff to do dramatic stuff, and I just can't do it. It comes off as funny anyway, so I might as well lean into it.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, listen, tell us about the festival. It starts on Friday, April 26th. I have the schedule in front of me. It starts at 4 o'clock and with a film called Blood Paradise. And this is all at the Davis Theater. Tell me about Blood Paradise.
Blood Paradise is a super, super dry, dark comedy, which is like a interesting pairing to be like dry and a dark comedy, like about murder in the countryside and stuff like that. But it works so well. It's Swedish, but it's all in English. And, it's one of those things that like we love at Horrorama. It's like super DIY. There's like five people that worked on this movie and
wow.
got it made. But it's absolutely incredible, and it's so funny, but like in a sick way. It really kicks in the door nicely for
okay.
Festival.
All right, and then at 6 o'clock you have a movie called The Rusalka.
Yes.
Okay, tell me about that.
That is a creature feature from the people behind They Look Like People.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw that one, that was on the fest circuit a few years ago. This is kind of our art horror movie we have in the fest. It's a slower movie. It is a character drama, but the creature stuff is really freaky. So I think it's got enough stuff for all kinds of horror fans to dig in.
And as part of the program all weekend, you guys are featuring shorts as well. Where did you guys come up with these shorts?
So a lot of the stuff we're playing, even a few of the features, we had our film Freeway up for submissions, and you know, being in the second year, we were completely floored and shocked by how many great submissions we got. We didn't really have to solicit much to fill out the festival schedule. A lot of great stuff came to us, got submitted, and all of the shorts we're playing, for the most part, all but a couple are totally just...
They were submitted.
Yeah, unsolicited submissions.
What was it like whittling it down? Did you guys argue? Were there some long nights of debate about what should be shown and what shouldn't?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah.
We didn't lose any friendships over it or anything like that. But it never got too heated, because in the end, we all kind of fall in the same place of, even if I don't like it, even if you don't like it, you know, like, will it play for the festival? And I think we all have a good idea of what we want to show people.
Yeah.
So we kind of have to step away from our tastes a little bit. I think our taste is kind of what makes the fest work. But we also know at the same time, like, will an audience like this?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we had to do.
So the short that is playing with that film is called Faulty Father.
Yes.
And what's that from? Where's that from?
Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head where that one came from, but it is again, like Rusalka, it is a kind of quiet, kind of dramatic, kind of, you know, hits you in the gut kind of horror
movie. So that's
why
you paired it up with that one. That
makes
sense. Okay. And then Freaks. Now, this is not the original Todd Browning movie. This is a recent film.
Yes.
With a great cast.
Yes.
Yeah, tell everybody about this one.
So this one's got Emile Hirsch and Bruce Dern.
Yeah.
Bruce Dern rocking, as usual.
Yeah.
But, like, the plot, I, like, can't tell you.
Oh,
anything.
Okay.
It's one of those movies that you have to, like, just trust the cast.
Yeah.
And just dive in.
Okay. And that is going to be, you got a short name, Premonition. So is this did you put these together because there are other movies called Premonition and Freaks?
No. No. They're centered around kids, and kind of centered around sort of like, Freaks isn't really centered around Halloween, but it has that sort of feel. Premonition is set during Halloween, and it has the young actor who played the son in Us in it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and he's great in this short.
Well, he's terrific in Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. All right, very, very cool. And then we got one more for Friday, and that's at 10:15. It's called Mutant Blast.
Yes, this is the new Troma movie. And this isn't like a Troma acquisition like one that they found on the circuit.
Yeah,
this is like they made it. They did it with...
Is Lloyd Kaufman involved?
Yeah.
Huh?
And it's got one of James Gunn's characters in it that he created for Troma.
That's awesome.
And it's goopy, it's bloody, it's violent, but it's got like heart too.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
You fall in love with the characters as well as the goop.
That's really cool. That's Friday night at 10:15, the latest from Troma, like real Troma.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And it's paired up with Five Course Meal,
which is the grossest short I have ever seen in my life, and I need people to see this.
Well,
and even if you can't come to the fest, seek out Five Course Meal. It is so sick.
I just, from the title alone, I was like, oh boy. You know what I mean?
It's worse.
All right. Good to know, man. That excites me. All right. Very cool. Matt, hang out, okay?
Okay.
All right. Matt Stork is with us, and we're going to give you more details about the Windy City Horrorama. We'll tell you how you can get tickets and passes for the weekend and all that cool stuff. It is at the beautiful Davis Theater on Lincoln Avenue. It starts on the 26th, and it runs through Sunday. And we'll give you more details on what's happening at the Horrorama Festival after we take a break here on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. And we are here until 5 a.m. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday is happening. And we'll start playing those back after 2 o'clock. So get your request in now. Any artist, anything, any song, Wildcard Wednesday. 312-981-7200. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. My guest right now is Matt Stork, who is one of the coordinators at a Chicago Events Coordinator at HorrorSociety.com. And the Davis Theater is hosting the Windy City Horrorama, and it is this Friday the 26th through the 28th. And people can get individual tickets for each show are $12, right?
Uh-huh.
For your Friday pass is $30.
Uh-huh.
Your Saturday pass is $45, and then you get the whole deal. And you get Sunday pass is $35, but the deal, the best deal, would be the festival pass for $100.
You're right, and that gets you into every movie and every party and everything we're doing.
Okay, there you go. And again, if you want more information, you can go to WindyCityHorrorama.com. Let's talk about Saturday, the Lake Vampire.
Yes, Lake Vampire is...
This is at noon, by the way.
Yes, this kicks off our Saturday. It is definitely appealing to sort of the murderinos and the people that are kind of obsessed with the Netflix serial killers,
sure,
crime procedural things.
Oh, man, I have friends who are just way into those things, man.
So imagine a procedural, maybe like a Seven or something like that, but you add a vampire into it, and okay, that's a Lake Vampire. It's absolutely incredible.
Cool, and it's from Venezuela.
Correct.
All right. Straight Edge Kegger. I love the artwork on this one.
Yes, great poster for this one.
Yeah.
This is Indiana made. They shot some of it at Subterranean here. So this is our local flavor early Saturday. All punk rock, a lot of punk rock Midwest bands in it, and it's a siege movie. It's basically like a Assault on Precinct 13 if a bunch of straight edgers crashed a punk party that of non-straight edgers.
Oh, and all right.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Is it anything like Green Room?
It is completely different,
uh-huh,
but it still has that punk step in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, all
yeah.
right. And of course, the 30th anniversary screening. These are fun when you do these screenings of older films. Robot Ninja.
Yes,
this is kind of this is the kind of movie that you would have gotten in the video store.
Correct.
Exactly,
yeah.
The kind of movie.
Yeah, the filmmaker who's going to be there, J.R. Buchwalter, is one of the filmmakers that I fell in love with his work very early on. He did Dead Next Door, Ozone, Witch House 2 and 3, a bunch of movies with Full Moon. But he he has Tempe Video, and one of their sort of most sought after, most elusive movies was Robot Ninja. It was only available on VHS for 30 years.
Yeah.
But he's cleaned it up. He's rescued it. He has taken all the darkness that has hidden everything on that old crummy VHS and brought the movie back to life. And he's kind of going around to different festivals with it. And we're like so stoked that we have him coming in for it.
4 o'clock in the afternoon, writer director Q&A afterwards. That's Robot Ninja, a 30th anniversary screening. Bloodline?
Bloodline is Sean William Scott, Stifler himself, mm-hmm, as a serial killer. If that doesn't sell you, I don't think we could be friends. Sean William Scott gives an amazing performance, and this has feels of Argento, De Palma, but it totally does its own thing. The director who will be there, Henry Jacobson, came from documentaries, and I think having a documentary director sort of do a stylized serial killer movie,
mm-hmm,
it makes for such a completely unique experience. Plus, Sean William Scott giving one of the best performances of his career.
That's awesome.
110% in that one.
20th anniversary of Idle Hands, which is a movie that I love.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's one of my all-time favorite horror comedies. It was my favorite movie of 1999. So I'm very excited that
Tennessee Your Magnolia came out, so that's a big...
Yeah, I took Idle Hands over Magnolia, and I will to this day still. I love Magnolia, though, because I love Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
But I love Idle Hands more. That's more my aesthetic.
Yeah.
Rodden Flender, the director, who also did Leprechaun 2, Roger Corman's The Unborn. He did the Conan O'Brien Can't Stop documentary. He will be in town for that
screening
as well.
Crystal Lies.
Yes, this is this is from Buenos Aires, another foreign movie, but this one has this very late 80s. It almost feels like a Young and the Restless kind of soap opera, but they're doing a giallo serial killer movie in the fashion world.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's so stylized and so fantastic, and the killer looks so cool.
Very cool. And then the Velocipastor?
That's right. It's exactly what it sounds like. It is a pastor who turns into a raptor to save his prostitute/law student lover from ninjas in China. It's the perfect midnight movie.
Oh, that old, old story.
There's only six plots, we just keep remaking them, and this is one of the timeless ones. Right.
And then Sunday at noon, you're going to be playing some local shorts.
Yes.
At 2:15, The Night Sitter.
Yes, this is another sort of Argento influence one. It has like this Argento meets Sam Raimi feel. It's our copywriter wrote that if Sam Raimi and Dario Argento crashed a Christmas party, it would look like this.
Oh, boy. All right. And then Antrim?
Antrim. It's a movie that may kill you if you see it. It's a cursed film that's been resurrected from the 70s. And it's got some hidden symbols in it. And a lot of other fests that have played it have had problems when they showed it. Mm. So we saved it for Sunday in case we don't survive.
Oh, I see. Okay. So was the inspiration for Carpenter's Cigarette Burns, you think?
It has a lot of that kind of feel. Yeah. But... Yeah. It is tapping more into the Satanic Panic.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, and then the FP2 Beats of Rage.
Yes,
another great artwork on the poster for this one.
Yeah, great poster for this one. This is a sequel to the movie The FP, but you don't need to see The FP to jump in on this one. It is just about a Mad Max like wasteland where people are fighting though for booze instead of water, and they settle their differences with Dance Dance Revolution. Like Jeez. Anybody would solve their differences.
Oh, man. All right. I wish you showed some original movies this year. Well, that's all there, man. You can check out WindyCityHorrorama.com. It starts on Friday the 26th through the 28th. You can get Friday Pass, Saturday Pass, Sunday Pass, Festival Pass, or individual tickets, and it's all at the Davis Theater. Matt, thanks for coming down. But before you get out of here, after the news, we're going to open up the phone lines and the text lines and talk about horror movies that are so sick and twisted that you'll never unsee them. Any choices that you have?
I'd say my top two would be Martyrs, which we talked about a little bit off air. It's very unsettling.
To say the least.
Very unsettling, and you almost can't bounce back after you see it. And then the other one that's just so sick and twisted, but is an absolutely incredible movie, is Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh, it's a great movie.
It's so effective in what it's trying to do. But it's stomach churning, and it's almost hard to get through. But that's the point of the movie.
Yeah. By the way, the article that I have for this, of course, mentions both of those movies.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to talk about movies that are so sick and twisted, you'll never unsee them. Those two definitely qualify. So, listen, Matt, thank you so much for coming down, man. It was nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Come up and say hi at the Flashback.
Yeah, I'll see you there. I'll be there.
Yeah, you'll be there.
So I go every year. I haven't missed a year yet.
I think Steve and I've been hosting since the beginning when it was we did Bubba Hotep, the premiere of Bubba Hotep, and Bruce came out for the first time. Bruce hasn't been there in a long time. I think the last time he was there was like 05 or 06 when we screened The Man with the Screaming Brain. Nice. I think that was the last time Bruce was there, so it's been a long time. So it's going to be great to have him back, and he's so good with the audiences.
Yeah.
You know, he's the best.
It's going to be a fun Q&A.
It's going to be great. Okay. WindyCityHorrorama.com for more information. Thanks, man, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
So here she's acting happy inside her handsome home, and me, I'm flying in my taxi, taking tips and getting stoned.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. It's Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, baby, Wildcard Wednesday. And that means get your requests in. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Tom is off this morning, but Sammy's filling in. Sammy, what is that and who requested it?
Well, he jumped the gun and did it 15 minutes before you got on air, but that's Dave from Monroe, Wisconsin, and that's Harry Chapman's sequel.
Yeah, there we go. All right. So we were talking about this Horrorama Festival, which is happening this weekend at the Davis Theater, and we went through the lineup, and it sounds great. Lots of premieres, lots of really cool guests, and it's always fun to spend a few days watching horror movies. And so I thought we would jump into horror movies. And the first topic I wanted to bring up was horror movies that are so sick and twisted that you'll never unsee them. Matt talked about this a film called Martyrs, which is a movie that I can't even get through. So that should probably tell you how sick it is. I mean, I've seen basically, you know, some of the grossest stuff, but I can barely get through Martyrs. And then he also mentioned Cannibal Holocaust, which is a notorious movie that we will get through. We will get to in a little bit. But this article here that I have has a whole bunch of movies that fall into this category of like so twisted and so sick that you will never, ever forget them or never unsee them. Like, for instance, they mention Hostel, which is, of course, Eli Roth says this brainchild of horror guru Eli Roth is pretty much every backpacker's nightmare. In it, a pair of American travelers check into a hostel in Slovakia and are forced to endure a series of truly gruesome tortures. I actually like Hostel. I grew very, very, very weary and very, very, very weary and tired of the torture porn sub-genre, and I hated the second Hostel. I hated it. But the first Hostel I liked because, I don't know, there was a real perverse joy in watching a bunch of D-bags get tortured. And I thought it was, I also thought it was very funny. And, but I think the first Hostel is great. And I stand by that one, but it's pretty twisted. It's pretty sick. It's pretty twisted. There's some really gory stuff in it. They also mentioned Mother from a couple of years ago, Darren Aronofsky's brilliant, film. It's really hard to tell exactly what genre Mother belongs in. One thing's for sure, though, it has some of the most disturbing moments ever committed to film, including the cannibalistic climax of the film that sends Jennifer Lawrence's character over the edge. Jennifer Lawrence is great in that movie. It's another one of those great performances, acting performances in horror movies, which I will mention a little bit later. And that's what we're going to be jumping into later on, like really, really great performances. Because the horror genre doesn't get the respect that it deserves, especially in the acting categories. Very rarely do great performances in horror movies even get respect, let alone any kind of Oscar nominations. The only movie that really comes to mind was Silence of the Lambs, which is a horror movie. And both Anthony Hopkins and Jodie Foster both won Oscars for that. But that's a very, very, very rare occurrence. And before that and since then, there have been some extraordinary performances by actors and actresses in the horror genre. They just doesn't get the respect that it deserves. But now we're talking about sick and twisted horror movies. What are your choices in that department? You can text us or you can call us at 312-981-7200. Here's Chad on WGN. Hi, Chad.
Hey, Nick. The original French version of Inside.
Oh my God! Yeah,
one of the few movies as a horror fan that I had to put my hands up and watch it through the cracks of my fingers.
That one I put in the same category. It's in the same sort of. It's up there with Martyrs. It's that same kind of like French torture. You know, that Inside is insane. It really is. It's absolutely,
and it's an original, good original story. So
yeah.
I just wanted to say one thing, though, real quick, to add to what you said earlier about Suspiria, and not to go too far off, but, like, so I have to tell you, as a kid, I'm 43 years old, so I'm kind of that class under you, right? 10 years under you.
Yeah.
I grew up in the 80s watching horror movies. I got a hold of a copy at, like, 12 years old of Suspiria, and Suspiria, like you, is in one of my top movies of all time, and it is absolutely, hands down, without question, my favorite horror movie of all time. The reason being is when I saw that was the first time I understood what actual filmmaking was. At 12 years old, it was the first time I I'm not trying to make this sound like over-exaggerate this. It was the first time I understood what color meant in film.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
changed my life.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that. You know what? I have a very similar story, Chad, but for me, the first movie that I ever saw where I realized what a director did, because, you know, I'd always read the credits and stuff, but for me, it was Halloween. I was 13 years old when I saw Halloween, and I was like, oh, that's what a director does. And it opened up my whole, you know, it opened up my whole mind to what filmmaking is. So I agree with you 100% that you can have that sort of transformative experience watching a horror movie. And I could totally understand why you felt that way about Suspiria, man. I could totally.
And I was the weirdest 12-year-old on my block because nobody knew what the hell Suspiria
was.
Yeah,
I was. Well, I saw it in the theater at 12. I was 12.
There you go.
I was 12 when I saw it in the theater, and it completely freaked me out. And said, "Did you like the remake, Chad?"
So, yes, I did. I'm same with you. I loved it. I loved where he went with it. I loved that he switched things up with it. No spoilers. I won't say anything. But, yeah, I thought it was brilliant. I am going to say this. One of my coolest moments of my life is I went to the 35mm print of Suspiria a couple years ago at Music Box, which was actually a terrible print, but I watched it.
Have you ever, Chad, gone to see when Goblin live scores it? Have you ever seen Goblin do this?
Okay, yes. So I not only did I get to see it, but I got to meet Claudio. My band had just done a show, and I got to give him my record, and I met him through a friend of mine, and we got to sit kind of in the crow's nest at Reggie's last time they were at Reggie's. So I watched it from, like, up in the cage up there and watched the Suspiria. And then, you know, they did the rest of their stuff after. So yeah, it was unbelievable.
It's an amazing experience. It's an amazing experience.
Well, Harper sat in front of me at the show that I saw at the Music Box, and her brother was sitting next to her. You know, she's from here.
Yeah,
she's from Wheaton, and she said her brother. I was talking to her, and she said my brother's never seen Suspiria
for
the first time. Yeah, and I'm like, I was floored. I'm like, this is your magnum opus, young lady.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
And I was like, I was just floored by that. And the print was so terrible. It was so muted.
Yeah.
It was old, and the colors were muted. And she agreed with me.
Yeah.
And it was kind of just, it was a very anticlimactic, because that's the movie that has to be, and I can't express to anybody enough, go get the 4K restoration Blu-ray. If you like that movie, it's like watching it for the first time.
Yeah,
so anyway, thank you, sir.
Synapse did a great job with the package. It's amazing. I got the steel case version of it. It's astonishing. All right, Chad, thanks, buddy.
I have a framed poster in my living room
of Suspiria.
No other like movie stuff, and I figure that original poster art is so much like art, and people come over and they're like, "What is that?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just a piece of art.
Yes, you know,
I don't need to explain it to them.
They had two different taglines. Which one's on your poster? Because they had the only thing more terrifying than the last 10 minutes of this movie are the first 93.
Yes.
And then the other one was, you'll never feel safe in the dark again. Those were the two different taglines.
Yes, so mine is the other. It's just the black poster with the ballerina.
And oh, that, okay, that, yeah, that one,
and
okay.
And it's in Italian, and it's just a Suspiria, but it says, on film, Dario Argento, and that's it. And then I just framed it in a really glass, nice frame, and I'm like, this is like my art for my living room. And it's that and Empire Strikes Back, and that's it.
That's it. All right, Chad, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Take care. There you go. There's Chad. That's a horror fan right there. The only piece of art in his living room is a Suspiria poster. all right, sick and twisted horror movies is what we're talking about. Which ones did it for you? 312-981-7200. And of course, in this article, you got to mention Saw, which was the movie that really kicked off the early mid 2000s the torture porn. And of course, you know, that there ended up being 7 Saw movies total. So the idea is the players, 2 men, the stakes, only one gets out alive. The twist, one has to kill the other to survive. Add in plenty of torture and you'll soon understand why Saw is one of the most infamous kidnap and torture films to date. It really did change the game, and it came out at a time when nothing like that had been made nor released. And so people freaked out over it. And I like the first Saw, but my favorite is Saw 2 is my favorite of all the Saw movies, because it mostly concentrates on the female character, the Shawnee Smith character, and I love Shawnee Smith, and she's like sort of like the focus of the second one. And they also, in the second one, they kind of go back and fix what everybody thought was wrong with the first one. Because they're like, after you see the first one, because it's got that big twist ending at the at the end of Saw. There's this big twist ending where you go, huh? And then you have to kind of replay the entire movie through what you just saw to try and figure out if it works with this big surprise ending. And there were a lot, you know, when you did that, like after you saw it, when you saw the ending of the big surprise twist ending of Saw, and you relived the whole movie back. It was one of those deals where you found a lot of flaws. Like there were a lot of flaws, you know, in terms of what makes sense and how, what this couldn't have happened and that couldn't have happened. So people started to pick it apart as, you know, this twist ending can't work because this character was here when he should have been there, and this was that happened, and this happened, and it doesn't make sense with the big twist at the end. But they fixed all that in Saw 2. They actually took all the all the possible flaws in logic that that popped up because of the surprise ending, and they fixed them in and confronted them all in Saw 2, which is which I think is pretty cool. So I like Saw 2, and then they got increasingly dumber as they went along, and by the time we got to Saw 5 or Saw 6, it was like, okay, that's enough. So but they kept going, and they came out at one point for I think it was 6 years in a row. Every year around Halloween there was a new Saw movie, every single year, and they didn't cost much money to make, and they would make a profit their first weekend. So that's why they kept making them every single year. And then there were the copycat torture porn movies that came out at that time, and then the really, really, really heavy and gross twisted stuff like Martyrs and Inside that came out around that time too. So it was a weird time. The mid 2000s was a weird time for the torture porn genre. All right, they mention here The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing. It says, 80s horror at its best. The remake of the 1951 original has become something of a cult classic itself, starring Kurt Russell in his glory days and featuring alien possession. This story, with its gore and goo, might seem a little kitschy to today's viewers. However, props to director John Carpenter for pulling off a story about an enormous, unstoppable parasite that's still fairly scary. It's there's nothing kitschy about The Thing. The Thing holds up just as well now as it did in 1982, and so do the practical effects. You know, now everything is CG, everything is computer. That was actual practical effects. That was latex. That was goo. That was on-set real masks and special effects that were generated on the set. No computers. And if you go back and you watch that movie, Rob Bottin's effects in The Thing, all the makeup effects and the gore effects are unbelievable and still hold up and are still incredibly effective. Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies of all time, and we'll talk more about that. Now, we want to hear from you guys. 312-981-7200. The horror genre is what we're talking about. Go check out the Windy City Horrorama this weekend at the Davis Theater. But specifically, we're talking about movies that were so sick and twisted, horror movies that were so sick and twisted that you'll never unsee them. And if you've got any of those that really dug into your brain, call us or text us right now at 312-981-7200.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time.
Welcome back, everybody.
I keep the ends out for the tie that binds.
We are back here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Wildcard Wednesday continues. You've been Wildcard Wednesday. Obviously, that's I Walk the Line by Johnny Cash. Who requested that one, Sammy?
I like this guy's name. Sam from South Elgin.
Sam. All right. Sam requesting some Johnny Cash. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here on WGN, we were talking about the Windy City Horrorama, which is happening this weekend at the fantastic Davis Theater right here in Chicago on Lincoln. I hope you guys can check that out this weekend at some point. But we're going to talk horror movies for a bunch of the time here this morning, as particularly right now, specifically horror movies that are so sick and twisted that you can never unsee them. We got some texts coming in, and we'll read those on the air. Send your text in or call us right now with your choices, 312-981-7200. What movie really messed you up? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 708 area code says, I spit on your grave, both the original and the remake. I would absolutely agree with that. I Spit on Your Grave is one of the hardest movies to sit through ever. I agree with that again. Again, another text here that says 309 says, I Spit on Your Grave and Monday Kane. We're going to get a lot of voices voting for I Spit on Your Grave, which was a notorious movie. I remember when that movie came out. I was in high school when it came out, the original I Spit on Your Grave. And Ebert and Siskel were so brutal in their attacks on that movie, both on the TV show and in print, they really went out of their way, you know, to talk about how disgusting the movie was, and also about their experience with an unruly, rowdy crowd in the theater who were, like, rooting on the rapist. For people who don't know what happens in this movie, basically, a woman is repeatedly attacked, brutalized, and raped by a bunch of guys, and it's shown in graphic detail relentlessly for the first, like, hour of the movie. And that's what it is. And it's really, it's low budget, and it has a real creepy, sort of cheap feel to it. And then the last, like, half hour of the movie is her seeking revenge and basically brutalizing these guys and killing them. And it's all done very graphically, and it's all done very brutally. And it is a chore to sit through. The movie has since, when it first came out, it got notoriously horrible reviews. It was considered one of the most disgusting, offensive, brutal movies ever made. And then as years have gone by, there have been studies made about this movie. And it is now, there's a large portion of fans of the film who defend it, including Joe Bob Briggs, the famous TV host and drive-in aficionado, Joe Bob Briggs. He, in fact, does the does one of the audio commentaries, the DVD audio commentary on one of the I Spit on Your Grave releases, where he defends the movie and talks about why it's an important movie. The original title of the movie was called Day of the Woman, the distributors made them change it to a more lurid title. They didn't want to call it Day of the Woman. So the distributors made them change it to I Spit on Your Grave, because it was just going to play basic drive-ins. And it was one of those movies that was going to play in grindhouses, local theaters, run-down local theaters, and drive-ins. That was going to be the way they distributed it. I agree. I mean, I Spit on Your Grave is a brutal movie. I've not gone back and rewatched it to reassess it, because, like I said, in retrospect now, people are looking back at this movie and saying that, in fact, it's really good. And that there are some really great elements to it, and that in fact it's a feminist movie, that some people say, including Joe Bob Briggs. I've just not gone back to watch it again, because it was such an just such an unpleasant experience seeing it that one time that I did see it. I remember I saw it at the Luna Theater on Belmont near Cicero, and there was a line around the block. What happened was Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel's reception of the movie to get people to not see it backfired completely, because local newspapers and local movie theaters were using their quotes to sell the movie, to get people to come and see it. Like, they were like, Gene Siskel says, this is the worst movie I have ever seen in my life. Roger Ebert says, this is the most disgusting film ever made. It's awful. And they use that to draw people in, and it worked, you know. So this idea that Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert went way, way, way out of their way to condemn this movie completely and utterly backfired. And as a result, the movie became, an actual hit upon its release, and it played at the Luna. I remember it played at the Luna for weeks. I remember it was at that theater for weeks. So that was a backfire, but it's a very difficult movie to watch, and I agree that it should be mentioned if you're talking about movies that are so sick and twisted that you'll never unsee them. I Spit on Your Grave is definitely one of them. Let's see. Here's Robert on WGN. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how's it going, Nick?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I remember I'm 56 years old, and I'll never forget this. My brother and his buddy took me to a movie. It was, I'm pretty sure it was a Dracula movie, but it was Jack Palance playing the vampire. I don't remember the name of the movie, but we got about a block away from the now historic Dixon Theater, and they took off running home. And I couldn't keep up with them. And in Dixon, there's two funeral parlors back-to-back on the same block, and I had to walk through the parking lot. I was just horrified as a kid.
Yeah.
Kid doing that. And I'll just never forget that. And never forget that white-faced Jack Palance with the fangs and stuff just
Well,
scared to living.
He played Dracula. That was a production of Dracula. So he played. It wasn't just a vampire. He was actually Dracula. But you know, there are a lot of stories about, you know, like friends and older brothers freaking people out and playing pranks on them after they watch horror movies. I mean, this is just something that goes on all the time. People do that all the time.
And then there was one that I went to a movie by myself that, as a younger kid, probably, I mean, now wouldn't scare you, but I just can never forget this. It was called The Legend of Boggy Creek. It was like a Bigfoot movie.
Yep, I remember that.
And that arm reaching through the bathroom window, I'll never forget that either.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Robert, thanks, my friend.
All right.
It's amazing how scary movies can affect you and just stay with you forever. Like, I'll never forget the first time I saw Suspiria. I mean, oh my God. It is imprinted in my brain how scary that movie is, and I just remember just from the beginning of the movie, the very opening of the movie completely freaked me out. So it can tattoo your brain. So if you got some scary moments that you want to share with us in terms of like horror movie moments, and I've got also movies that are so twisted and sick that you can't unsee them. If you want to jump in with your maybe the scariest moments that you've ever remembered in a horror movie, stuff that really scares you and stuff that grosses you out and made you sick, jump in on all that. We're talking horror movies this morning in honor of the Windy City Horrorama, which is happening this weekend. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Also, Wildcard Wednesday continues. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. We'll get back to horror movie talk and gross horror movie talk right here on 720 WGN after the news.
You're listening to the WGN radio app.
Alone in the world was poor little Lamb. As sweet a young child as you'd find. Her parents had gone to their final reward, leaving their baby behind.
All right.
Did you hear this poor little child was only 9 years of age?
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. It's Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, Wildcard Wednesday. 312-981-7200 for talk and text for your requests. Sammy, who was that and who requested it?
That was Bobby Darin.
Darin,
my bad. Okay. Artificial Flowers, and that was from Sandy from Evergreen Park.
Okay, there you go. And you can continue to get your requests in here at 312-981-7200. And we were talking earlier with Matt Stork, who is one of the guys who runs the Windy City Horrorama Festival, which is happening all this weekend at the Davis Theater, celebrating the world of horror and horror movies and all kinds of cool stuff. So I thought we'd continue to talk horror, talking about some horror movie memories, stuff that really scares you, and horror movies that are so sick and twisted that you'll never unsee them. And then I want to have a fun time talking about some of the best acting performances in horror movies, because as I've said before, the horror genre doesn't get the respect that it deserves, and it certainly doesn't get the awards that it deserves. And there have been some unbelievable performances in horror movies that have just been ignored by the critics and by awards, and especially certainly by the Academy. And I just want to shine a light on some of the really amazing performances that have been given by actors and actresses in the horror genre. But first, we're talking about scary, scary, scary stuff and sick and twisted horror movies. 312-981-7200. Dan and Marengo said, I'm going to have to say that Goodnight Mommy is one hell of a creepy movie. Yes, it is. Oh, my God. Goodnight Mommy. If you've not seen this movie, it is unbelievable. And that one definitely fits into the category that we're talking about. The movies that are so sick and twisted that you'll never unsee them. Goodnight Mommy is definitely one of those movies. It's a great film, though. Made my top 10 list the year it came out. It's scary as hell. It's also a really, really, really rough one to sit through. I remember I saw it at the Music Box Theater. I played at the Music Box, and there was a group of people who were across the aisle from me, and they were being pretty vocal when the movie really, because when the movie kicks in, it's that these two twin kids don't think that their mom, she comes back from surgery and she's got her, you know, she has her whole face is wrapped in gauze and you can't see her face, and they are they're convinced that it's not their real mom, so they start to torture her. And when that starts, the movie kicks into high gear and it just does not let up, and it just goes to really, really really, really twisted places. And I remember the group that was sitting across the aisle from me at the music box the night I saw it. There was one guy in particular who just kept saying, "Oh, hell no." Like, like whenever something really, 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 really twisted happened, "Oh, hell no." And he said it, like, you know, especially towards the end of the movie and at the, in the final scene of the movie, the very final, final shot of the movie. "Oh, hell no." So, which, I, you know, which is a correct and legitimate response to watching that movie, because it is unbelievable. So Goodnight Mommy definitely fits into the category that we're talking about. Here is John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hey, Nick. How are you doing today?
All right. What's up?
Good. I never, maybe I'm going to sound pompous here or something, but I never thought that Siskel or Ebert were particularly that bright.
Okay, I told,
even,
I totally,
even when I was a young, even when I was a young man, I'm talking when they were at sneak previews before they were at the movies, before they became Siskel and Ebert. I mean, I go back to the late 70s with them.
Yeah, and, I do too, John, and I could not absolutely disagree with you more. They were both brilliant guys. Brilliant.
Really? Because absolutely. their writing was subpar. And when they when they ended up with that thumbs up or thumbs down, that was just unbelievably unspectacular.
Okay, John. First of all, Roger Ebert won a Pulitzer Prize for writing. That's first of all, he won a Pulitzer Prize for writing. Second of all, in order to appeal to a mass audience, that's why they did the thumbs up and thumbs down. Third of all, they brought film criticism to the forefront, and nobody ever read film criticism. Nobody did before Roger and Gene.
I did.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, who did you read? Who do you think was a good film critic?
I read. I can't remember their names. I was a teenager.
All right. All right, well, I'm just saying I disagree with you like 1,000% on this, John.
But Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, Roger Ebert said everybody should see this movie so that they could protect themselves from a possible serial killer. Now, that is completely irresponsible.
He didn't say that, John. I know Roger said, no, he didn't. All right, listen, we're done talking. We're done talking. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. He didn't say that about Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. He gave it a great review. Said it was terrifying, but he never said as a service announcement to go see the movie to avoid getting killed by a serial killer. Never said that. Roger would have never done that. Okay, here's Michael on WGN. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
First, sick and twisted, The Devil's Rejects got me.
Yeah. That's Rob Zombie. I mean, I can't stand his movies, but yeah, they certainly fall into that category. Devil's Rejects, House of 1,000 Corpses, his first movie. All of his movies are really sort of really, really violent and really torturous and all that kind of stuff. I'm not a fan. I know a lot of people love Rob Zombie's movies, but I'm not one of them.
I'm either or, but also the acting will not win any awards there.
Oh, no. No. That's definitely not good. When we start talking about great acting in horror movies, none of the Rob Zombie movies will be mentioned. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
All right. Michael, thanks. Thanks. Yeah. All right, there you go. All right, is the next one that they mention in this article. 312-981-7200, by the way, is the phone number if you want to jump in. 312-981-7200 for really, really scary movies and really, really sick and twisted movies. The next one that they mention is a movie that I absolutely love. It came out a couple of years ago, and it's called Raw, and it is brutal. It is really, really unpleasant, and it's one of my favorite movies of the past, like, 10 years. They describe it, the French horror movies are sick, man. I don't know what's going on over there, but they enjoy making some really twisted, there's a sub genre in French cinema with really gore, really unpleasant, really torturous movies, and they enjoy making those movies over there. This French-Belgian horror tale is about as graphic as you can expect a movie about flesh-eating to be. Your stomach will churn as Justine, a former vegetarian, develops an unquenchable hunger for human flesh. And it's exactly what you think. It is exactly what you think it is. It is a film about cannibalism, and it, here's a couple. Let's see. 847 area code. We got some texts coming in. What are some of the gross and twisted and sick horror movies? 847 area code says, if you watch I Spit on Your Grave, you have to watch Last House on the Left. It's kind of a companion piece. I mean, Last House on the Left is also, it fits into that category. As a movie that's really, really, really difficult to watch. And again, it's the same kind of thing And a lot of people, actually, when I Spit on Your Grave came out, a lot of people said it was a ripoff of Last House on the Left, including Roger Ebert, who actually loved Last House on the Left and gave it a fantastic review. That's Wes Craven directed Last House on the Left. John and Howard Heights says Face of Fire and Circus of Horrors. Let's see. Marco says The Exorcist was the big one for him. Friday the 13th Part 2. Let's see. 301 says, yes, that movie was very unpleasant. The original Last House on the Left is sickening as well. I don't find anything entertaining about seeing women being abused. I think Last House on the Left has a lot more merit than I Spit on Your Grave. I really do. I don't think it's great, but I really do. Sam says, hey, Nick, the horror movie that really freaked me out was a Rob Zombie movie, House of a Thousand Corpses. 301 area code says, all those Herschel Gordon Lewis atrocities, amateur and disgusting. I happen to love Herschel Gordon Lewis. I had him on the show. The guy's a genius. Herschel Gordon Lewis. Genius. They were real low-budget gore movies. They were made specifically for the drive-in, but the effects are so bad, and the movies are so dumb. It seems like a waste of time to be offended by them because they're just so stupid, and they were specifically made just for that. Mark from Libertyville says, I always found the first Hellraiser movie to be pretty twisted. I never watched it again, and I never saw the sequels. Yeah, they keep getting weird. I mean, those Hellraiser movies are weird. They are, man, and they're twisted. I like the Hellraiser movies. I think Clive Barker's pretty great. Here's what they say about Last House on the Left in this article. It says, before he was renowned as the creator of Nightmare on Elm Street, Wes Craven released this truly depraved and sadistic classic in which a gang of killers and rapists torment two young women. It was so violent that it was banned in the United Kingdom until 2002, when particularly offensive scenes were removed. Yeah, that's a very hard one to watch, too, as we mentioned. Dee Snider from Twisted Sister made a horror movie called Strangeland about 20 years ago, and they mentioned it here. The Horror Fest was written by Dee Snider, who also stars as the mentally unbalanced Captain Howdy, a sadistic and schizophrenic man who lures teenagers via chat rooms. Briefly reformed after a stay in an institution, he soon becomes unbalanced again and wreaks havoc on a small town. It's pretty much every parent's nightmare come true. I know a lot of people who are very passionate about that movie, about Dee Snider's Strangeland. I'm not one of them. But I know that movie does have a pretty strong and passionate cult following. Now, here's a movie I love. This is called The Woman. This is from the director, writer-director Lucky McKay who directed and wrote May. One of the best horror movies ever, I think, with Angela Bettis giving one of the best performances. When we get to best acting performances in horror movies, Angela Bettis in May is extraordinary. Well, one of his follow-ups was a movie called The Woman. This story has every ordinary family in the backwoods hiding a secret horror trope imaginable. Those are accompanied by brutal torture scenes leading up to a bloodbath that pretty much decimates 75% of the characters in the film. And in probably purposeful irony, the real monsters in the film are the men, not the eponymous woman. It's a hard movie to watch. I will absolutely agree to that. But it's a great movie though. And Lucky McKee is a terrific director. And if you've not seen May, I can't recommend that movie highly enough. It is just fantastic. And Angela Bettis, unbelievable in it. When Matt was here, he did mention the remake of Evil Dead, which came out in 2013, and I thought it was great, and it's really gory. Really, really, really gory. The 2013 reboot of the cult classic, which gender swaps Ash for a woman named Mia, has some incredibly disturbing moments, such as when Mia loses her hand and replaces it with a chainsaw, which, of course, happens in Evil Dead 2. So, all right, gross, crazy movies. Here's one I can't stand. It's Antichrist, with one of the most graphic and infamous self-mutilation scenes in the history of filmmaking. Lars von Trier, who is a guy that whose films I've got no patience for anymore. They're just they're painful, and it's just like it's an endurance test to sit through one of his movies. This is a controversial work that starred Charlotte Gainsbourg and Willem Dafoe as a grieving couple trying to get their relationship on track following the death of their child. Of course, they decide to do this in a cabin in the woods, and from there, things go very, very wrong. Yes, they do. and I hated it. And it is a very unpleasant movie to watch on every level. All right. We're going to take a little break here. We're talking horror movies, and check out WindyCityHorrorama.com for the very cool schedule for the festival that's happening at the Davis Theater. And if you've ever seen a movie that made you real sick or you thought was twisted, text us or call us right now at 312-981-7200. Also movies that really scared the hell out of you. 312-981-7200. More texts and talk and more movies that make you sick coming up right here on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here till 5 a.m., Wildcard Wednesday.
Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday
continues, and it's any artist, any song, anything. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. All right, Tammy, who was that, and who requested it?
So that's Airborne, Back in the Game, but it's also the theme song to Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai, the Karate Kid, the new YouTube series. Mm-hmm. But our main car, Ike from Country Club, Illinois.
All right, there you go, Country Club Hills. Ike, thanks, buddy. All right, coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Okay. Having some horror talk this morning because in honor of the Windy City Horrorama, which is happening right here in Chicago this weekend at the Davis Theater. We had Matt Stork on earlier to talk about it, and it's going to be a really cool, fun weekend for horror fans. And we're just talking about horror movies that scared the hell out of you, horror movies that are so sick and twisted that you'll never unsee them. And then I want to dive in to the best acting performances in horror movies. And as I've said before, the horror genre doesn't get the respect that it deserves or legitimate respect that it deserves, especially from awards. And a lot of incredible performances that were Oscar worthy have been ignored simply because they're in horror movies. So we're going to jump into that. And if you guys have any choices, great acting in horror movies, we're going to get into that in a little bit. Right now, though, we're talking about movies that really scared the hell out of you and movies that were gross or so sick that you can't unsee them. 301 area code says Rob Zombie's movies are garbage. I agree. I agree 100% that they are garbage, and they also fit into the so sick and twisted that you can't unsee them. But they're also terrible movies. He is a terrible filmmaker. 815 area code says the scariest movie I have ever seen is Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. Really? Okay. Let's see. 708 area code says, "How about The Hills Have Eyes, the original and the remake?" And also Ryan from Mount Prospect says, "How about Hills Have Eyes? That's twisted." Yet another Wes Craven. Another Wes Craven. I love Hills Have Eyes. I love both the original and the remake. I think they're both great. And they're very twisted movies. No question about it. They're very twisted movies, and they are pretty sick. Somebody in the article that I've got here mentioned Event Horizon, which is a movie that that has definitely carved a fan base over the years. Sam Neill, it's a science fiction horror movie. And it was released by a major studio. Paramount Pictures released it, and it gets incredibly twisted and bloody and crazy towards the end. A classic in the science fiction horror genre, this is the stuff of nightmares that comes to life. When the rescue crew of Lewis and Clark investigate what went wrong on the starship Event Horizon, they discover an evil sentience that hurls people into insanity and horrifying hallucinations. This flick may not be as sick and twisted as others in this article, but the lurid torture scenes are still burned into our brains. Yeah, I was surprised at how twisted that movie was. Like Event Horizon with a straightforward A-list cast, produced and released by a big studio like Paramount Pictures, and I didn't know it was going to go that route. Because it gets dark, it gets twisted, it gets bloody, it gets crazy. Event Horizon. We mentioned Cannibal Holocaust. This movie is notorious. The title pretty much explains why this 95-minute film is filled with people eating people, and in the most gruesome ways, framed as a found footage from a documentary team researching the tribe in Amazon rainforest. This movie should not be watched while you are eating anything. This movie is so notorious that they actually, the director almost got arrested because people thought it was a real snuff film. People were convinced that the actors in the movie actually got killed. They actually died, and they were eaten. That's how sort of realistic and grimy the movie is. So here's Mike on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, you ever see the movie Let Them Die Slowly?
Very similar to Cannibal Holocaust. It's part of those crazy, really incredible, cannibalistic, gross Italian movies that made the scene. Yeah, I seen Let Them Die Slowly. It was one of those notorious VHS tapes that everybody rented in the 80s.
Yeah, one of the Carradines was in that one, I believe.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
I think so.
I think it was banned in like 33 countries on the tape when we rented it years ago. I saw it like 1985, so it's been a long time since I saw it.
Yeah, well, that's when it was popular. Back in the 80s, there was a subgenre of like these video nasties, they called them. They called them video nasties. And many of, like, I spit, like, Let Them Die Slowly, and then the whole Faces of Death series. There were, which was purportedly real death and real murder filmed. And those were huge on VHS back in the 80s. That was a whole subgenre that that people rented like crazy back then.
Well, my favorite part of one of those Faces of Death was when the guy was outside of the vehicle filming the bear with his video camera, and next thing you know, you see his, the camera fall away from him without an arm.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how much of that is real? I don't think much of it is, quite frankly. But they sold it as like, "Ooh, this is real death. This is real death on real film," and it worked because those Faces of Death movies, there was part two, part three, part four, and they rented off the shelves at video stores like crazy. Yeah,
well, it's all about the money.
Yeah, exactly. All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, take it easy. Right,
yeah, Let Them Die Slowly. Yeah, those video nasties. That's the kind of stuff that when Matt was here from Windy City Horrorama, we were talking about how what his introduction to horror movies was, and he was renting those movies at that time when they were hugely popular. And those movies, those video nasties, were like the kind of movies that you would rent, not tell your parents about. If your parents went out, you'd watch them. You feel like you're getting away with something. You're like a 14-year-old kid going to a video store, getting something that's so gross and so real, and it's a snuff movie, and you can't let your parents know. It was exciting for a lot of kids in the 80s to do that. So, also pretty weird. Back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we're here until 5 a.m. And Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. And it's a Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Okay, who was that who requested it, Sammy?
So we got For Liver, Live and Die by Orchestral Maneuvers, and that's from Mike from Joliet.
Ah, okay. There you go. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We were talking earlier, our guest was Matt Stork, who is one of the guys who is behind the Windy City Horrorama, which is a weekend festival that's happening this weekend, 26th through the 28th at the beautiful Davis Theater, and they are premiering a whole bunch of new horror movies, and they've got some classic horror movies that they're celebrating anniversaries of with some great directors and stars. There's going to be Q&As. It's a really great horror-themed event, so I thought we would just talk horror this morning, which is, of course, one of my favorite topics and my favorite genre of any movie. And we've been talking about movies that scared the hell out of you. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200, and also movies that are so sick and twisted that you can't unsee them. And we've been talking about that, too, so if you want to jump in, for talk and text, 312-981-7200. And then we're going to get into some really great acting performances in the horror genre. And again, as I've said before, the horror genre does not get the respect that it deserves, particularly from the Academy and other, straightforward places. And there have been so many great acting performances that have been ignored by the Academy just because they were in horror movies. We're going to talk about that. Get back to some of these twisted movies. Audition. This movie is really twisted. No list of sick and twisted horror movies would be complete without something from Takashi Miike, and this one's a doozy. Probably the worst dating experience ever conjured in the history of mankind, the movie features a middle-aged widower who learns that love a second time around can be a killer, literally. You know, it seems there's an air when you're watching Audition, and it definitely belongs in this article about movies that are so sick and twisted that you'll never unsee them. But for a while, it doesn't seem that bad because, you know, it's got this, you know, it's got this reputation. Audition has this sort of, you know, notorious reputation as a sick and twisted movie. But while you're watching it in the first like hour or hour 20 minutes or so, you're like, well, it's a little creepy and a little weird. But and then forget it. And then it all just turns into a complete nightmare the last 20 minutes of the movie. Whew. So it doesn't seem like it's as crazy and as twisted and sick as you have heard about represented in ways, but man, it gets there. It goes there. They mention You're Next. Axe-wielding murderers crash a family reunion in this slasher flick where only those brought up in a survivalist compound survive. Does anything make sense? No. Does a bloody gore abound? Yep. I would not put You're Next into a category of a movie that's so sick and twisted that you'll never unsee it. I love that movie. I love Your Next. I think it's terrific, but I don't think it belongs in sort of the same category as something like Audition or certainly I Spit on Your Grave. And I Spit on Your Grave does get mentioned here, of course. Brain Dead from 1992, from rabid animal attacks to skin being torn off of faces. This is Peter Jackson. He directed this movie, and you simply won't forget it. A lot of people forget that Peter Jackson started out making really crazy and twisted and bloody movies and weird movies before, you know, he obviously is known as the director of the Lord of the Rings movies and the Hobbit movies. But when he started out, it was as twisted and sick and weird as you can possibly get, and in a beautiful way. Cabin Fever, another Eli Roth movie, which was about a flesh-eating virus that takes out a bunch of idiots who go to a cabin in the woods. It's one of those movies that, I like Cabin Fever. Eli Roth has made a few movies that a lot of people have had difficulty sitting through. We mentioned Inside, between the bloody violence involving a pregnant woman and the impromptu cesarean section that leads to it. Everything about this French movie feels very, very wrong, and that's absolutely true. Excision is another one. The most disturbing moment in this movie is an amateur surgery carried out by a disturbed teenager. These are real movies, folks. I'm not making this up. Then we got another Eli Roth movie, and that is, of course, Green Inferno, which was his homage to Cannibal Holocaust, which we talked about earlier, the whole subgenre of the crazy Italian cannibal movies, which is an actual subplot or a subgenre and that exists. With scenes depicting cannibalism, suicide, and other acts of violence, Eli Roth's homage to Cannibal Holocaust was not well received by critics. I liked it. I think the only Eli Roth movie that I don't like is The Second Hostel. I'm not crazy about Eli Roth as a person, because I think, you know, like any interview I've ever seen or any time he's ever been on a show or hosted anything, he comes off as a total D-bag. But I like his movies, and I don't think he's a very good actor. I didn't even like him in Inglourious Bastards. Of course, he stars in his own movies, too, as well, every once in a while. What's interesting is that I'm going through this article and looking at the movies that were mentioned, nobody mentioned any of the classics, Lucio Fulci zombie movies, which are gross, or the George Romero movies, you know, like Dawn of the Dead or Night of the Living Dead. Those are notorious for freaking people out and grossing them out. So a lot of the zombie movies, I'm really surprised, especially the Fulci movies. I'm surprised the Fulci movies, like New York Ripper and the actual movie Zombie, those are movies that have these notorious reputations for being completely and utterly disgusting and gross. Didn't make that article, but I would certainly include a lot of the Fulci movies. And I don't mean that in a positive way, because I love Lucio Fulci. And of course, everybody, you know, who listens to this show knows how much I revere the great George Romero. And he's made some really, really, really gross movies and explicit gore and bloody, and some of them very, very twisted. I was surprised that they weren't mentioned. So 312-981-7200. Let's see. Somebody, of course, mentioned Human Centipede. Yeah, those movies, I don't even understand how those movies exist, the Human Centipede movies. I don't even know. I don't know why people went to see them. I don't know how it happened. I don't understand. Someone said a movie that they can't watch is Schindler's List. That's on a different level. We were kind of talking about movies that are sick and twisted. So sick, twisted, and violent, and gory in the horror genres. Schindler's List certainly doesn't go in the horror genre, for sure. Okay. Let's see. Scary movie. The scary movie Alien. I'm so glad I saw it at a matinee. I remember the first time I saw Alien. Alien came out in the summer of 1979, which makes it 40 years old this year, which makes me feel like I'm 112. But I remember when I saw Alien, and when I saw the commercials for it, and saw the poster and all that stuff, I thought it was just going to be sort of your just straightforward, forward, like, you know, sci-fi movie, you know, like maybe like a Star Wars kind of movie, but about aliens. And then, you know, I see the movie, and Alien is as creepy and as suspenseful and as scary a horror movie as you're likely to ever see. So I had to readjust my expectations when I was watching it, because I literally thought it was going to be sort of like a swashbuckling, you know, sci-fi movie with an alien in it. But that's not at all what it is. I mean, you know, it's a science fiction movie, no question about it, but it's horror first and foremost. Alien is horror first and foremost. 847 area code says this is Sebastian, who actually is in Germany. He says, for me, French filmmaker Gaspar Noé's Irreversible was tough to watch. I had to take a cigarette break. Yeah, that movie, he makes those are the kind of movies that he makes. He's another one of these guys like Lars von Trier, who likes to challenge his audience, you know, to sit through whatever he's making. And Irreversible is a brutal movie, especially the first like 20 minutes of the movie, the first 20 minutes, half hour is just brutal. But inevitably, if you make it through that first 20 minutes, because the movie is told, I mean, the movie's called Irreversible, but the story is told in reverse. If you can make it through the first 20 minutes, and I know some people can't, and I don't blame you, because the first 20 minutes, half an hour of Irreversible is unbelievable. And very, very, very rough and hard to sit through. But if you can make it through, there's an actual payoff that's really emotionally effective. And it ends on a light note. So it goes from really dark, really, 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 really black, dark stuff to the tone shifts. And by the end of the movie, it has a very hopeful ending. So, but I agree with you. It's a brutal movie to sit through. Let's see. Jack says Dead Alive. Well, we just mentioned that Peter Jackson. the Peter Jackson, the early Peter Jackson movies are outstanding. Somebody, 847, said, hey, I found out over the weekend you were friends with Joey Donatello. He's my second cousin. You have any fun stories about him? I tell stories about Joe all the time on the show. And I was like one of his best friends. He passed away 11 years ago. It'll be on Thanksgiving, it'll be 11 years ago. I tell stories about Joe all the time. If you listen on a regular basis, you've heard me talk about Joe many, many times. He was a very special guy and a big character, and I was glad to know him. But I didn't know that you were his second cousin. But thanks for listening. Okay. All right. We're going to take a break here. Those are the gross movies that we were talking about, the sick and twisted movies. Now, when we come back, I put together a list of my own, and I have an article about great, really, really great award-worthy performances in horror movies. So we're going to talk about some acting here. So who do you think deserves recognition for being really, really great and giving a great, great performance in a horror movie? We've got some text coming in already on this topic, and we want to shift into that. So we're going to be talking about great acting in horror movies, and I have an extensive examples of really terrific award-worthy acting in horror movies that just get ignored. They get ignored just because they happen to be in a horror movie, which is not fair. So 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. It is Wednesday. That means Wildcard Wednesday. You have your Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Sammy, who was that and who requested it?
It was Bonnie M. It's called Ma Baker, and that was requested for our man Juan.
Okay, there you go. So welcome back, everybody. And Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are talking about we were talking about horror movies this morning, having some fun talking about the ones that really freaked you out, the really, really scary ones, and the sick and twisted ones that you'll never unsee. We talked about some of those, and there are a lot of them. Matt Stork was joining us a little bit earlier, and he is one of the founders of the Windy City Horrorama, which is a really terrific horror festival that's taking place at the Davis Theater this weekend from the 26th through the 28th. They've got a great lineup of events and movies, both features and shorts, that are part of the great horror genre. So check out WindyCityHorrorama.com if you missed the segment, our interview. But that got me thinking, hey, let's talk more horror movies, because it's one of my favorite subjects, and it's my favorite genre of movies. And now we're jumping into acting in horror movies, that topic, because the Academy and a lot of the sort of, you know, legitimate critics and stuff like that ignore or just completely dismiss the fact that horror movies can be great. They can be art, they can contain great filmmaking, and they can contain really great award-worthy performances. And over the years, there have been so many great acting performances in horror movies that get ignored that I thought we should talk about them. And 312-981-7200 is the phone number. They actually wrote an opinion piece. April Wolf wrote this on the Rotten Tomatoes page, and she says, in 2018, Jordan Peele's Get Out jolted the Oscar status quo by earning nominations for four awards, including Best Actor for Daniel Kaluuya. It's not totally uncommon for prestige to pluck a horror performance from the dirt and see it as a radiant flower that it is. Ruth Gordon won an Oscar for her eerie turn in Rosemary's Baby. It has happened in the past that there have been, you know, some really great performances in horror movies that have gotten the nod, but it's really, it doesn't happen very often. And so everybody's talking now about Lupita Nyong'o's incredible performance in Us, where she plays two distinctly different but complementary versions of the same character. And she's getting a lot of praise for that. And by the end of the, at the end of the year, when we get upon the award season, I really hope that she's remembered for the performance, because it's a truly great performance. And, you know, Jordan Peele is now, he won an Academy Award for Get Out. He won a screenplay Oscar for it. So he's, you know, got respect from the Academy Awards. And maybe since they're starting to, you know, see that, you know, these movies can be great, or at least, you know, the Jordan Peele movies can be great, maybe more acting performances will get the recognition that they deserve. So I want to jump into some of my favorite acting performances in horror movies, and there are a lot. Here's Jerry on WGN. Hi, Jerry.
Hello. How are you, Nick?
All right.
All right. I just want to get in there that my scariest movie was It's Alive. Not the baby.
Yep, It's Alive. The great killer baby movie that Larry Cohen made back in the '70s. Yep.
Yep. It gave me nightmares for a while.
Yeah.
And then I think my the worst actor in a vampire movie would be John Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't like him in that vampire movie he made.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, John Bon Jovi in the unofficial sequel to John Carpenter's Vampires. This is what I remember about that is when Triumph, the insult comic dog, voiced and portrayed by the great Robert Smigel, did a whole segment where they were hanging out with Bon Jovi, and Triumph said, "I understand that you're in a new vampire movie," and John Bon Jovi goes, "Yeah, that's right." He's like, "Okay, finally a movie that requires you to suck." So, so yeah. Here are some great performances. I don't know if you guys have seen this movie, The Babadook. It's this incredible Australian movie directed by Jennifer Kent, and it was her first movie as a director. And she is so good in this movie. The Babadook is about this this children's book. It's about a woman whose husband died in a car crash, and she's got a very disturbed young boy who's trying to sort through the grief and the loss. And they find this book on the shelf about this character named the Babadook. And the Babadook is this mysterious, really scary character that starts to manifest itself in the house. And it's a really good and really scary movie. And Essie Davis is the lead. She plays the mother in the movie. And it is an extraordinary performance, a truly, truly extraordinary performance that is really powerful. And she really puts herself through the paces. It's a great performance. One of the best performances in the horror genre in years. And deserved more recognition than it got. And of course, you know, one of the great performances from last year that was ignored, which I think was the best performance by any human being in a movie last year. And that's Toni Collette in Hereditary. She should have not only been nominated, but she should have won the Academy Award last year. Hereditary, not only a terrifying movie, but she is incredible in it. And we've gotten a few texts that mention her, obviously. 815 area code says it's a sin that nobody acknowledged Toni Collette. And then we've got a 301 area code that also mentions Toni Collette and Hereditary. This is a big one, I think, because like she dominated that movie. It was a performance of such power, and it varied. She had to play every kind of emotion. And it was an exhausting performance. And she also added to how scary that movie was, because Hereditary is a really, really scary movie. Like massively scary. And I think has and will continue to go on to be revered as one of the most effective and scariest horror movies ever made. And one of the greatest film directorial debuts of all time. But Toni Collette is extraordinarily great in Hereditary and deserved all kinds of recognition. And she should have definitely gotten an Oscar nomination, at least, at the very least. 815 area code says Kathy Bates in Misery. She actually did win the Academy Award for that movie. And also lots of people have mentioned it. I actually included it here on the ones that I've picked. 414 area code says, whatever happened to Baby Jane? The nanny scared the hell out of me when I was a kid. Bette Davis played a great monster in both. 773 area code, Margot Kidder in Sisters. Yeah, she's great in that movie. And Catherine Deneuve in Repulsion. Both great performances. You know, I mean, those are great performances. I mean, one of them was directed by Roman Polanski, who you know, was an Academy favorite, would go on to win the Academy Award and all that stuff. Someone includes Nicolas Cage in Mandy, which is a really crazy movie that was released last year. It's one of those, you know, because Nicolas Cage has these moments of complete insanity. You know, he'll make movies where he's just like completely off the wall. It's like, what is Nicolas Cage doing? How crazy, how insane is Nicolas Cage? And sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's just embarrassing and weird. You don't know what the hell Nicolas Cage is doing. The movie's bad and the performance is ridiculous. But that's not the case with Mandy. This is good, crazy Nicolas Cage. Like really, really good, crazy Nicolas Cage. So, all right. What do you guys think? Great acting performances in horror movies. And I got a bunch more here, and I want to hear from you guys at 312-981-7200. Great performances in horror movies. That's what we're talking about. 312-981-7200.
You ain't nothing but a...
Everybody, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive on this Wednesday morning, Wild Card Wednesday. You have your Wild Card Wednesday. We got some openings here for some Wild Card Wednesday requests, so get them in. We have some openings so we can get your Wild Card request in, so get them in now. That's any artist, any song, anything. Get them in. We'll play them. Got some openings. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right, that was Hound Dog, obviously, and who requested that?
a hot dog by Big Mama Thornton, and that was requested from Southside Jim.
Southside Jim. All right. Thank you, Jim. Get your requests in. They're open right now. We can get squeeze them in for you for Wildcard Wednesday, 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Also, that number, 312-981-7200, is where you text or talk to us right now. We've been discussing horror movies because of the Windy City Horrorama, which is happening at the Davis Theater this weekend. And particularly right now, we're talking about really great acting that deserved award recognition but didn't get it because they just happened to be in horror movies. And horror movies are a genre that does not get the kind of respect that I think it deserves. And there are some incredible acting performances that have been done in the horror genre for many years. And that's what we're talking about, acknowledging them. Another one from recent years, a couple of years ago, James McAvoy in Split. He was great in that movie. He was also great in Glass. Split is the only M. Night Shyamalan movie that I don't hate. I liked Split. It was the only one that I've ever liked, except for the final shot when it turned out to be a sequel to Unbreakable, and then I went, ugh. But one of the main reasons why I like Split as much as I do is because of McAvoy. James McAvoy is one of my favorite actors on the planet. And to play all those different characters that were trapped inside this guy and to do it so convincingly, and there was a real emotion to it. There was a real emotional connection that he made with the audience and with the character. He was scary and he was funny. It's a great performance. It's a tour de force performance that, and McAvoy, like I said, McAvoy is one of my favorite actors. I love him in everything. I love everything that he does. And he is just extraordinary in Split. And the fact that he was just completely ignored by any awards or any critic circles, and especially the Academy Awards, at least a nomination, is really crazy because he carries that movie. He owns that movie. It's a good movie carried by a truly, truly great performance. And then Glass is a terrible movie, and the only good thing in it is McAvoy, who again came to play. Like, he's a terrific actor and throws himself 100% into a role, and he especially did that very impressively in Split and was ignored because Split's a horror movie. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Mike on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Nick. How are you doing?
All right, man. What's up?
I got a guy who I've seen in several Korean movies, and he's always great. But in The Host, I thought he was particularly good. Kang Ho-sung.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's terrific.
He's a terrific actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor. And The Host is such a great movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie. That's a good one. That's a real good one.
So, yeah.
All right, Mike.
All right, Nick.
Thanks, Mike.
You take care there.
312-981-7200. Here is John on WGN. Hi, John.
Yeah, here's a classic going way back to The Wolfman, Lon Chaney Jr. as Larry Talbot.
All those guys in the classic Universal movies were fantastic. I love Lon Chaney Jr. as Larry Talbot. It's a classic performance, a classic character. If I had to pick, the best performance by those classic guys in the Universal movies, I would have to go. With Boris Karloff as Frankenstein in Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein. Those are amazing performances. And of course, Bela Lugosi, he is Dracula, and he always will be. And those are great performances. And the acting in a lot of those classic Universal movies is really good, not just by the leads, but by the supporting performances. There's a lot of good acting in those movies.
Yeah, and Bela Lugosi also as Igor the Hunchback was that Son of Frankenstein?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are great movies. Really good acting. But you're right. I mean, Larry Talbot, great character, great performance. But I really do think that Boris Karloff is just incredible in the Frankenstein movie. So
yeah.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thanks.
Another one that I mentioned here is Tony Todd in Candyman, and Tony Todd's going to be at our Flashback convention, our Flashback weekend convention. He's so good in it. He's so scary. And he was quoted as saying that he always wanted to do his own personal Phantom of the Opera. And that is kind of the feel that that Candyman has. And he's great in it. And I'm going to be really excited to meet him. I've never met Tony Todd. He's never been at our Flashback convention. And that, by the way, is the first weekend of August at the Crown Plaza Hotel. We've got incredible guests and incredible events. And we're going to have some movie screenings. And you can browse through the vendor tables and rooms and buy a bunch of horror related merchandise and all kinds of really cool things. It's always a blast. It's usually, and it is always my favorite weekend of the year and my highlight of the summer. is when I get to be a host at Flashback Weekend, and Tony Todd's going to be there, and I think his performance in Candyman is great, and I think it's not as praised as it should be, as so many of these performances are. Let's see, here's Diane on WGN. Hi, Diane.
Oh, yeah, Nick. I think you've heard of this movie before. It's called Targets.
Yeah, Targets. Peter Bogdanovich directed it.
Karloff is great in that. This goes back to your other category. It's a very, very disturbing movie.
It is, yeah. That was one of Peter Bogdanovich's first movies as a director.
It's very, very frightening.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a good movie. Lots of good performances in that one too. Targets. If people haven't seen it, it's a pretty twisted movie. So, all right, Diane,
check
thanks.
It out.
Take care.
All righty.
Here's one that is near the top of my list of performances that should have been given an Academy Award, especially in a horror movie. Jeff Goldblum is unbelievable in David Cronenberg's The Fly. So is Gina Davis. Gina Davis is great in that movie, too. That's two really great performances, just so happens to be in a horror movie. But, man, Jeff Goldblum is incredible in it, and he's, like, all over the map with it, having every kind of emotion. It's a great performance. A great performance that, there was talk back in 1986 when The Fly came out. There was a lot of buzz, no pun intended. There was a lot of buzz about Jeff Goldblum's performance, that it might get Oscar nominations. I think he did win some, Critics Circle Awards or different cities, who have their film critic choices. I think he did get some recognition at awards time, but he certainly didn't get it in the big award shows at all, especially the Academy Awards. But if you go back and you watch that performance in The Fly, he's great. And also, I don't want to discount Gina Davis. I mean, Goldblum dominates because he's the lead in the movie, and it's about him. But he and Gina Davis obviously had a great chemistry because they were together at the time. They were a couple at that time. And you can feel that throughout the entire movie. And I think that The Fly not only is an effective horror movie, great piece of science fiction and gross and wonderful and very Cronenberg, but I think it's also a really great love story. In fact, I think it's actually a really beautiful love story. And a lot of that has to do with how strong Gina Davis and Jeff Goldblum connected to the material and how they were connected to each other at the time. You can just see that in every frame of this movie. Every scene that they have together is played that way. But I think Jeff Goldblum's performance in The Fly is wildly underrepresented and should have been should have gotten awards for it. So we've got this one here, a pair of performances that they were both nominated, but they didn't win. But these are two performances that are extraordinary in one of my favorite horror movies of all time, Sissy Spacek and Piper Laurie in Carrie. These are great performances. These are great, great performances. And because, Carrie is a Brian De Palma movie, it's bloody, it's very lurid, it's very stylized, and again, it's a horror movie. They did get Oscar nominations. I will say, props to the Academy Awards to actually nominate Sissy Spacek and Piper Laurie for their performances in Carrie. But this is an example of powerhouse acting in horror movies. There's no question about it. Like, really, really great acting in horror movies. So that's what we're talking about here. If you want to get in here, it's 312-981-7200. We're barely scratching the surface to some of these movies and some of these performances. Who do you think gave great performances in horror movies? 301 area code mentions Toni Collette again in Hereditary. Ellen Burstyn in The Exorcist. We're going to get to that because she and Linda Blair were both amazing in The Exorcist. Again, both were nominated to give some fairness to the Academy for nominating them. Ellen Burstyn is one of my favorite actresses on the planet. She's truly, truly one of my favorite actresses ever. And she's great in The Exorcist. Someone mentions the same 301 area code texts in George C. Scott in The Changeling, a really scary movie. One of the scariest ghost movies of all time, with one of the best seance scenes in film history. And George C. Scott really adds some gravitas to it. It's a great performance by a great actor. And again, didn't get any kind of recognition. And that movie, by the way, really flung under the radar. People should know more about it. If you like scary ghost movies or haunted house movies, you should check out The Changeling. Boris Karloff gets mentioned from 301 in Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein, which we just mentioned. One of my favorite horror performances of all time, Brad Dourif in Exorcist 3. Not just in horror films, one of my favorite performances ever. I got to meet Brad Dourif this past summer at our Flashback convention. He was there for a big Child's Play reunion that they did, since he provided the voice of Chucky. And the first thing I said to him when I met him was, you know, your performance in Exorcist 3 is one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. And it is. And he deserved every kind of accolade and every kind of award for that, supporting actor and on. If you've not seen Exorcist 3, first of all, it's a terrific movie, a very scary movie, almost as good as the original. I think maybe as good as the original. George C. Scott's in that one, too, and he's terrific in it. But, man, Brad Dourif, that performance is just unbelievable. So if you've not seen Exorcist 3, do yourself a favor. Check it out. And Brad Dourif, Oscar-worthy performance, like beyond Oscar-worthy. A great, great performance. So, okay, we're going to take a break. We're continuing to talk about horror movies here, and in particular, great acting in horror movies. What do you guys think? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Let's take a break here for some weather. Today, temperatures warm into the middle of the upper 60s. An easterly component to the winds will end up giving some cooler readings. For tonight and overnight, cloudiness, a chance of showers far south, partly cloudy in the north. Tomorrow, a cold front swings through in the afternoon. Temp will rise above 70 before scattered showers and a few thunderstorms arrive in the afternoon or evening. And for Friday, partly to mostly sunny with afternoon temps that will still manage to reach the mid-60s in most areas. So your current conditions, it's mostly cloudy at O'Hare where it's 47 degrees. It's overcast at Midway, 49 degrees. And at the lakefront, it's 44 degrees right here on 720 WGN. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about great movie performances in horror movies. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We are here until 5 a.m. It's Wild Card Wednesday if you guys want to get in here with your requests. We got some open at 312-981-7200 for Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything. Who requested the Head East?
Yeah, Head East was from Donna from Genola.
Donna. Okay, there you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We've been talking about horror movies this morning because Mark Stork was our guest earlier, and the Windy City Horrorama Festival is happening this weekend at the Davis Theater. Lots of really cool horror movies, lots of guests, horror shorts, independent and big-time movies as well. And you can check out WindyCityHorrorama.com for more information. It's happening this weekend starting on Friday. So that we started talking about really, really scary movies and really, really gory movies that freaked us out, sick and twisted ones. But now we're talking about, you know, as I've mentioned a million times, the horror genre does not get the respect it deserves. It's my favorite genre. And particularly in the acting column, it's unusual for the Academy to nominate or give Academy Awards to performances that take place in the horror genre. So we're talking about really great acting performances in horror. We also have a couple of texts rolling in about movies that freak them out. 815 area code says, "Oh my God, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer." 773 area code's Billy Bill says, "Motel Hell, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Halloween, and Poltergeist are all there." 262 area code says, "I love Lon Chaney Jr. because I always felt sorry for him and his struggle with werewolfism." Cookie says, "Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi always rule for me." We were talking before the break, we were talking about these really great performances by the actors that are in the classic Universal monster movies. And there's some really seriously good performances in there. And then 708 area code says, "Sigourney Weaver in Aliens was nominated for an Oscar, but she was snubbed." Yeah, that's one of the performances that I mentioned, too, in both the first two Alien movies. I mean, I'm a fan of the Alien series, but particularly the first two Alien movies. Sigourney Weaver is really great in both of them. And they're two different kind of performances, because in the first Alien movie, it's a horror film and she has to struggle with surviving this alien. In the second Alien movie, it's an action movie and she is just like the total badass protagonist going after the alien. And it's about the difference between, you know, what her character, who her character was in the original Alien, how she changed, and how badass she was in Aliens. She got nominated and she totally deserved it. But that's a really that's an example of a really great performance in a horror movie, and that's Sigourney Weaver. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Here is Linda on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Hi.
I haven't heard anybody mention Vincent Price.
Yeah.
Or there was another, he was a little short guy with beady eyes. And
it would be Peter Lorre.
Peter Lorre, right. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. They were great. Vincent Price, if I had to pick a Vincent Price performance, there'd be my number one would be Theater of Blood. He's fantastic in Theater of Blood. And I'm a big fan of the Dr. Fives movies. I think he's great in those too. He's a lot of fun in a ton of movies, but I think Theater of Blood is by far like his best and most nuanced and really funniest performance in a horror movie.
Well, if you heard Vincent Price was in a movie, you knew it was going to be something with gore or something.
Well,
it would
be scary. He did mostly horror movies. He was one of those guys, yeah. One of those guys that's well known for horror, and he was the king. He was great. All right,
the
Linda,
Raven.
Thank you, Linda.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, Vincent Price. Guys like Vincent Price, of course, Peter Cushing, who's my hero, who I think gives great performances in all of his movies, particularly Horror of Dracula, where he plays Van Helsing, and that's my favorite version of the Dracula story, is the Hammer Horror of Dracula with Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing as Van Helsing. It's one of my favorite horror performances of all time. But like guys like Vincent Price, John Carradine, these are icons. You know what I mean? These are the horror icons that are timeless. Like these guys are going to be horror icons forever. John Carradine and Vincent Price, Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, all of these guys. You know, you got the older generation with your Lon Chaneys and your Lon Chaney Jr. and Lon Chaney and Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi, Glenn Strange. You know, these are classic guys or horror icons who are going to be around forever. Another great performance amazing, Mia Farrow in Rosemary's Baby. Now, Ruth Gordon did win an Academy Award for Rosemary's Baby, but Mia Farrow, what she has to do in that movie is just, absolutely nuts. And in a similar vein, I think a movie that is also great that got ignored, that has a performance, that, and it was a movie that we mentioned a little bit earlier as part of the So Sick and Twisted movies. But Jennifer Lawrence in Mother, it's an extraordinary performance. And again, like Mia Farrow in Rosemary's Baby, and it's the similar kind of crazy head games that Aronofsky plays. It's the same kind of head games that Polanski plays in Rosemary's Baby. But Jennifer Lawrence navigates that insanity, because that movie's insane. Mother is insane. And she navigates that insanity incredibly well. It is a great performance. And Jennifer, you know, obviously Jennifer Lawrence has won an Academy Award. She's been nominated several times. And she's as good in Mother as she has been in any other movie. It's as good a performance, if not better, than some of the other ones that she's been nominated for. And yet the Academy was just like, nah, we're not going to nominate that. It's too weird. It's a horror movie. So they simply did not give her the recognition that she deserved. And she's great in that movie. Let's see. Here's Joe on WGN. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
All right.
It's probably not Oscar-worthy, but I think a pretty good performance is Roddy McDowall in 80s Fright Night.
Oh, he's great in Fright Night.
He's great in Fright Night.
He's great in Fright Night. Well, he was another one of my favorites. Roddy McDowall was one of my favorites of all time. I loved him in everything. But yeah, that performance as Peter Vincent is iconic. I mean, it really is.
It really is, and probably the most scary representation of a female vampire I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Joe, Amanda Bierce was at Flashback last year, and you know she played the female lead in that and the vampire, and she was also on Married. Most people remember her from Married with Children, and
right.
she's just lovely. She is a really lovely, nice person, and went out of her way because we had kind of a disastrous screening of Fright Night where we show the movies outside, Joe. On a giant inflatable screen. So everybody sits outside, we watch the movies, and the screen deflated, like right at the beginning of the movie. And she was there with her friends to watch the movie, and she grabbed the microphone. I gave her a microphone, and she actually, while they were trying to get the screen fixed, she did 20 minutes in front of the audience and talked with them.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, and she
kind of like to hear that. She seems like that kind of person.
Absolutely,
to me.
And she did talk about. By the way, Joe, she did talk about the makeup process. You know how when she turns around and she's got that crazy grin.
Yeah.
She talked. She said it took hours to put that makeup on, and it was a real pain in the neck.
I can imagine. It was just absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, and it's a great movie too. I mean, it's just Fright Night. I love that movie. It's one of my favorites. And yeah,
mine as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. There you go. Nice to mention Fright Night, Roddy McDowall. Guy's a legend. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and that's going to be right after this.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back.
Right.
Like the sailor said,
welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago here till 5 a.m., as we are every weekday morning. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. It's a Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. And it's any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. My producer Tom Hush is off this morning. He'll be back tomorrow and filling in. It's Sammy. We appreciate you filling in, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Pleasure to be here.
And who requested the Sinatra?
It was actually Dean Martin.
Oh, that was Dean Martin. Oh, right. Okay. Of course it was.
We'll switch up. Special shout out to Frankie. He's working on the patrol this evening, this early morning. So that one's for you, Frankie.
All right. There you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Earlier, we had someone from the Matt from the Horrorama, Windy City Horrorama, and we've been talking about horror movies. We were talking about the ones that freak you out the most, ones that are sick and twisted that you won't forget. If you want to throw some of those out our way, that's fine. But now we're concentrating on the fact that the horror genre does not get the respect it deserves, and there are so many great acting performances in horror movies over the years that got either ignored or just flat out not even respected. And I wanted to shine a light on some of these incredible acting performances that you can see in the horror genre. We were talking a little bit earlier about a movie called The Woman that was written and directed by Lucky McKee. Well, he also wrote and directed a movie called May, which is one of my favorite horror movies of all time, featuring one of my favorite horror performances by Angela Bettis. And May is about a very lonely girl who is an outcast and likes to sew a lot. And she has a lazy eye and doesn't fit in with people. And she becomes sort of obsessed with this guy who works near where she works, and she works in a veterinarian office. And she becomes obsessed with this guy, played by Jeremy Sisto, and she kind of goes a little bit nutty. And it's a great, great, beautiful performance by Angela Bettis in a movie that really gives you the heart and soul of the main character, who's very disturbed and does some really bad things, you know, that involve murder and so on and so forth. But you never... You know, you feel a lot of love for this character. And I think Angela Bettis' performance in May, if you've never seen the movie May, rent it immediately. And I think her performance is one of the best in the horror genre of the past at least 20 years or so. So let's see. Here is Thomas on WGN. Hi, Thomas.
How you doing, Nick?
All right.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was calling regarding a movie I can't remember the title of. It might have been a theatrical release. It might have been a TV movie, but it was like out in the mid to late 70s. It's about a young lady who was looking for some place to live, and she found this condo, and the condo turned out to be like the gateway to hell.
Yeah,
and
I got you already, Thomas. It's called the Sentinel.
Okay, yes, the Sentinel. That's it.
Yeah.
Was that theatrical? Or was that TV?
No, that was theatrical. Too much really crazy stuff happened to that. That's a hard R. That movie was a hard rated R movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And Burgess Meredith was the role that I was thinking of in that film, where he was like the creepy neighbor.
Yep.
And she was like, I think she might even turn out to be like a nun that was the gatekeeper.
Well, at the end of the movie, because what happened was the Sentinel, who was in the top, and that was John Carradine, by the way. He played the priest, who was in the top apartment, and he would oversee. He sat there as this. He was the Sentinel. He was the one who tried to keep the gateway to hell closed. And then at the end of the movie, she ends up being the new Sentinel as the nun. And that's a very twisted twisted movie. Very, very really? Twisted movie, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of see it as a companion piece to Rosemary's Baby,
yeah.
Kind of like.
Yeah, 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 sure, because, I mean, the entire apartment building in Rosemary's Baby was, you know, they were devil worshippers and everything. And,
right.
And it has a very similar feel to it. I loved The Sentinel when I saw it as a kid. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Who was the female lead in there?
Christine, Christina Raines? She was a model. She was mostly known as she was a really big time model in the 70s, and I think that was maybe her second or third role. And she went on to act a little bit more, but she was more known as a model than an actress.
Okay, great.
Okay. All right. All right.
Did anybody mention Faye Ray or any of those actors from Con?
That's a good one, man. You know what? Man, I can't believe that. No, Faye Ray is so good in King Kong. Everybody's good in King Kong, the original.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great one. Good. Thanks for mentioning that one, Thomas.
Thanks.
All right, take care. Yeah, man, the cast of King Kong, the original King Kong, man, Faye Ray was good in that. Faye Ray was great in that. So, all right, other great movie performances in horror movies. What are great acting performances? All right, so it kind of goes without saying that Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall in The Shining give incredible performances. Nicholson is a little bit crazy and over the top, but that's kind of like what the character is. But you have to admit, it's an incredible performance. It's a dynamic performance. It's exciting. It's certainly memorable. Some of the classic moments in, you know, movies happens in The Shining. Of course, here's Johnny and so many other moments. You know, all work, no play makes Jack a dull boy. And they're both, like, great in it. Now, Nicholson, of course, was allowed to do what he wanted, you know, as Stanley Kubrick directed the movie. And so he just went to town. He went as far, he went as crazy and as far off the deep end as he possibly could. He, you know, he obviously improvised the "Hello" or "Here's Johnny" line, and you know, and of course that was lost on Stanley Kubrick, because Stanley Kubrick never watched The Tonight Show or anything like that, and didn't get the references, was going to cut out of the movie, but was convinced by, I think it was convinced by Nicholson to, you know, to leave it in. People would get it, and it turned out to be one of the classic moments in movie history, not just one of the classic lines, but moments in movie in film history, not just horror movies. But Nicholson's great in it. It's a showy performance. It's a crazy performance, but it's certainly a good one. And he's got moments of real scariness in it, and also moments of hilarity. You know, in the movie, it ultimately, at its core, is about a man dealing with his alcoholism, and that's also a great allegory in the film that it does very, very effectively. And that was what the movie was about. Again, we talked about this before, that Stephen King hates the Stanley Kubrick version of The Shining. He hates it because it is significantly different than the book. But I, you know, as showy as Nicholson is, and I know that, you know, if people are going to talk about great, great performances in horror movies, Nicholson is always going to be mentioned for The Shining. But I really want to focus on how great Shelley Duvall is in The Shining. She's fantastic in the movie. And it's a performance that, like the performance in The Babadook and like the performance in Hereditary that we've talked about before, is an exhausting performance and a very effective one. But the deal is that Stanley Kubrick basically tortured Shelley Duvall while they were doing it. He mistreated her. He did hundreds of takes and, you know, most of her scenes in the last, you know, third or more of that movie are, on a scale of 1 to 10, she's at about a 15 in terms of anxiety and in terms of being shaky and scared and over the top and crying. And Kubrick basically tortured her. And she got no help from Nicholson. Nicholson was in his own world, and everybody on the set obviously was going to do whatever Stanley Kubrick said to do, because he was Stanley Kubrick. But her performance, you know, like all that shaking and crying, and the tremoring and the crying and the deep breaths and everything, all that stuff was real, because, you know, it was done over and over and over again. She talked about how while she was making that movie, she couldn't sleep at night, it would take her hours to just even try to relax. And then she'd be back out on the set like hours later, and Kubrick would be all over her again, yelling at her, mistreating her, torturing her, and just making her do take after take after take after take of these incredibly energetic and exhausting scenes. And it pays off in the movie because she's great in it. But she also talked about how she was losing clumps of her hair because of the anxiety. You know, it affected her relationships, it affected everything in her life, and it stayed with her. Like that experience of making The Shining was so, you know, like, exhausting and horrifying for her, that it stayed with her for years and years afterwards. So it's a brave performance. It's a great performance, and you know what is on screen, what is evidenced on screen is that, you know, it's a really great performance by Shelley Duvall. But the backstory on how she, you know, how she was treated and what she went through and how it affected her real life is unbelievable. So and to not get the kind of recognition that a performance like that, an endurance test that she was put through, to not get the kind of recognition that she deserved, I think is a crime. You know, Nicholson got a lot of praise for it, and you know, people thought he got snubbed for not being nominated for The Shining. But Shelley Duvall never gets the kind of recognition that she absolutely deserves for what she did and what she went through when she made The Shining. It's a truly great performance, and it changed the woman's life, like not just the movie life, like her real life. It affected her real life. So, yeah. So next time you watch The Shining, just keep in mind that, you know, all that stuff that she's going through, her character is going through, you know, in the last part of the movie. That acting was really close to just the way she was feeling and what she was going through at that time. And it's a terrific performance. So, Shelley Duvall in The Shining, incredibly underappreciated horror film performance. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about really great performances that don't get recognition simply because they're in horror movies. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Let's hear from you. All right, here's your weather forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Today, temperatures will warm in the middle to the upper 60s, although an easterly component to the winds will end up giving cooler readings at some point. For tonight and overnight, cloudiness and a chance of showers far south, partly cloudy north. For tomorrow, cold front swings through in the afternoon. Temperatures will rise above 70, with scattered showers, a few thunderstorms arriving in the afternoon or evening. For Friday, partly to mostly sunny. Afternoon temps will still manage to reach the mid-60s in most areas. Currently, it is mostly cloudy at O'Hare, where it's 47 degrees. It is overcast at Midway, where it's 49 degrees. And at the lakefront here, it is 44 degrees on 720 WGN. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump right back into this topic. Great film performances in horror movies. 312-981-7200.
It was 21 years ago. Mother spoke to me and said the duration of the seed.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. And it is Wednesday morning, Wildcard Wednesday. You hear me, Wildcard Wednesday? It is 312-981-7200, any artist, any song, anything. Who was that and who requested that, Sammy?
Such an interesting song. It's called Curse of the Witches by Strawberry Alarm Clock. And sure. That's from one of our biggest contributors, Jay.
All right. There you go. A little Strawberry Alarm Clock for you. Deep cut. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are talking. We've been talking horror movies this morning because we had a guest from the Windy City Horrorama on a little bit earlier. A really cool and fun organized film festival with great guests and great movies that's going to be happening this whole weekend, starting Friday all the way through Sunday at the Davis Theater. You should go out and check it out and check out WindyCityHorrorama.com for more. And then it got us talking about horror movies. What are the scariest ones, the ones that freak you out the most? What are the ones that were so sick and twisted that you can never unsee them? And now we are talking about great acting in horror movies. And there is a lot of great acting in horror movies. It's just that, you know, because it's a horror movie, it never gets the kind of recognition that it deserves, those kind of performances, especially from the Academy. So we're acknowledging some really great acting in horror movies. And if you want to jump in with your thoughts on that, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Here are some texts that have come through. 262 area code says, one of my favorite horror movies growing up in the 70s was Burnt Offerings with Karen Black, Burgess Meredith, Betty Davis, and Oliver Reed. Yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing Burnt Offerings in the theater, and it was a pretty freaky movie. It's got a crazy ending. I read a book about called Hellraisers, which is about Peter O'Toole, Richard Harris, Oliver Reed, and Richard Burton. It is a terrific book, and it's about these four actors who are known for their hellraising and their massive amounts of drinking. And some of the stories are absolutely crazy in this book. It's a tremendous book if you've never read it. It's called Hellraisers, and it's about those four actors who definitely were known for their incredible copious amounts of drinking. Oliver Reed being one of the biggest ones. But there's stories about during the making of Burnt Offerings, Oliver Reed did not get along with Betty Davis in the least. Betty Davis was really, really rude to Oliver Reed because he was a drunk. And she called him out on it. She called him all kinds of names. They didn't get along. He said in the book, they said that the set was just really tense. And any of the scenes that he had to do with Betty Davis were just awful. And she was calling him names, and then he would call her names. There are some really crazy, over-the-top, entertaining stories about the making of Burnt Offerings that are in that book. So Betty Davis did not get along with Oliver Reed. And Oliver Reed, as a result, to his usual heavy drinking, made it even heavier as making of that movie. But I remember liking the movie. I haven't seen it in a very, very long time. But I remember liking Burnt Offerings. So, a 630 area code. I thought John Cusack did an excellent job in the movie 1408. I really like that movie. That's another Stephen King adaptation. We talked about Stephen King adaptations a couple of weeks ago because Pet Sematary came out. And 1408 did get mentioned. It's a really good movie. And Cusack's great in it. Cusack's really, really good in it. And I agree with you. I think that's a performance that people should check out if you've not seen it. It wasn't the biggest box office hit, and it wasn't one of the biggest Stephen King adaptations in terms of like money making. So a lot of people haven't seen it, but Cusack's great in it. Cookie says Alien. I love Alien. The Alien scared me. The Alien movie was dealing with space travel, and it scared me. Yes. 847 said, Nick, don't forget Vincent Price in the Hawaii Brady Bunch episode with LOL and then smiley faces in a palm tree in the in the text. Yes, of course, Vincent Price's classic portrayal in the Brady Bunch episode in Hawaii. Who could forget that? 262 area code says, I loved Nicholson in The Shining. Yes, we talked about that. And don't forget about Shelley Duvall. 312 area code, once again echoing Sissy Spacek and Piper Laurie and Carrie being two of the best performances in the horror genre, and I totally agree with that. Let's see. Here's Joe on WGN. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Nick. Big fan for a long time.
Thank you.
Hey, I know it's not a horror movie, but when I was six, The Witch and The Wizard of Oz and those little monkeys, they were so scary.
Yeah.
She deserved the Oscar nomination.
Yeah, Margaret Hamilton. Margaret Hamilton.
Right.
Yeah, she played the Wicked Witch of the West. I agree with you about those. I agree with you about those monkeys, man. They scared the hell out of me when I was a kid. The flying monkeys scared the hell out of me when I was a kid. So, and it's
And also Angel Heart with De Niro and Mickey Rourke.
Oh, good one. Good one.
And De Niro was only in that movie for like two, three scenes.
Right. Right.
That was his last great performance.
No,
I never saw him in anything after that. Really good.
Yeah, no, he's made a few. He's made a few. I mean, I will, granted, you know, like a lot of the stuff that he did, he did start to coast for a long time. But he's got, there are a few post Angel Heart performances by De Niro that are good. You just got to look them. You got to find them. They're not hard. They're not easy to find, but they're there. So.
All right,
Joe, thanks Nick. Take care, man. 312-981-7200. Here's Carl on WGN. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
The birds, Tippi Hedren.
Oh, yeah.
Tippi Hedren basically made the whole thing believable.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like Shelley Duvall, was completely tortured by Hitchcock.
Yeah. And also Suzanne Pleshette. Of course, she dies. She gets killed by the birds.
Right.
But it was so, she was trying to convince people at first, and they were going like, right, sure. And then all of a sudden they realized what was happening. But again, to her performance really made the movie.
Yeah, I agree. She's great.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, man. There you go. Here is Tony on WGN. Hey, Tony.
Yo, Nick, what's going on,
what's
man?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I can't complain. Hey, I got three for you, but the one actress played in all three.
Okay.
Pollyanna McIntosh in The Offspring, The Woman, and Let Us Pray.
Yeah. You know, we mentioned The Woman earlier.
Okay.
Because it's so good.
Man, but those two right there alone, I mean, you're talking about graphic, man.
Yeah. Those are good. Those are all good choices, man.
Yeah, because They don't make them like that, man.
All right, Tony. Not too often. We've got to look for them. All right, Tony. Thanks, buddy. All right. Here's Nick on WGN. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Nick, how about an underrated movie, Magic, with Anthony Hopkins?
Oh, man, that's a good movie.
Isn't that great? Yeah, I don't know who's creepier, him or the puppet.
Or Fats. His name was Fats, the dumb. Yeah, you know, it's
called Schmucko.
Schmucko. Quick story, Nick. Years ago, I was one of the people at the, you know, I'm still part of the Chicago Film Association, but we had the Chicago Film Critic Awards. This was back in 1992, the beginning of 1992. And Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Demme and some of the other people from Silence of the Lambs showed up to get their rewards because we gave him Best Director. So I walk up to Anthony Hopkins and I said, hey, can you still do Fats? And he did a whole thing on Fats and he didn't move his lips once.
He had to learn that for the movie, didn't he?
Yeah, and he could still do it. And that was like 20-something years after Magic came out, and he could still do it. He did a perfect Fats without moving his lips. It was unbelievable. I was just like, that's the most impressive thing I've ever seen.
The movie, I mean, nobody saw that movie, but I mean, maybe me and you, but
yeah.
I just love that movie.
I do too.
It's so good.
And Margaret Burgess Meredith. Boy, Burgess Meredith getting mentioned a lot here. So
and don't forget Ed Lauder. Another great actor.
The great Ed Lauder. Yeah. All right, Nick. Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
Let's get one more in here before the news. And here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nick. How you doing? I had to call back. Claude Rains, I know you mentioned the classic Universal characters,
yeah.
But Claude Rains as the Invisible Man was great.
Yeah.
And here's one, Jeremy Irons in Dead Ringers.
Yeah, that's on my list.
That's, I mean, when he won the Academy Award for Reversal of Fortune, he thanked David Cronenberg.
Exactly. That's one of my favorite details is when he won that Academy Award for Reversal of Fortune, first person he thanked was Cronenberg.
He was great in Dead Ringers.
He was amazing in Dead Ringers. Amazing. All right, cool, Mike. Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care,
dude. All right, man. Take care. All right, the news is coming up in 3 seconds.
You're listening to the WGN Radio app.
There you go. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here till 5. It's Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. All right, Sammy, who is that singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow and who requested it?
That's Eric Clapton, and that's from John, which is a live performance that Eric did, and he wanted to get some recognition to it.
All right, there you go. Eric Clapton. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We've been talking about horror movies this morning, one of my favorite subjects, my favorite genre of movies, and we're talking about how a lot of great actors and actresses have done incredible work in horror movies, but don't get the recognition simply because it's the horror genre. So we're pointing out some great performances here. A great one from 3-1. If you want to jump in, talk or text 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for great performances in horror movies. This is a great one. 312 area code picks Dee Wallace in Cujo. That is a great performance. She is incredible in that movie. And it's a very scary movie too. I think Cujo is a really scary movie and one of the more effective and better of the Stephen King adaptations. But whenever you talk about great performances in horror movies, Dee Wallace in Cujo should be like right near the top of the list. Again, an exhausting performance from her. And the kid is amazing too. The kid is unbelievable because the two of them are basically stuck in a car being terrorized by a rabid, insane Saint Bernard, and the intensity and the level of energy that she has to maintain throughout that whole movie is unbelievable. So yeah, great choice, 312, Dee Wallace. Another person from 312 area code echoes again, Brad Dourif in Exorcist 3, which is one of the best performances in horror history. 630 area code again votes for Jeff Goldblum in The Fly. He was so good. 773 area code says Daniel Herlihy as Cochran in as Colonel Cochland in the Halloween 3 season of The Witch. Yeah, that's a great performance. That's a great villainy performance from a movie that that has a great strong following now. People, you know, years and years later, as that movie was released, because when it came out, people hated it. I loved it. I loved it from the get-go. But when Halloween 3 came out, you know, like I've said before, when I saw that movie in the theater, I can only remember one other movie where an audience was angrier after the movie. And but they were so mad after Halloween 3 because it didn't have anything to do with Michael Myers. It was a completely different kind of movie. It was a very weird movie, and it had a very strange, abrupt ending, which indicated that maybe the world just ended at the end of the movie, and people were mad. And it was a full house on a Friday night. The weekend had opened, and it was like nothing anybody had ever thought it would be, and I remember everybody I was with was mad. I wasn't. I thought it was great, but everybody in that theater, it was palpable, the hatred for the movie. But the only other time which the audience was even more angry was after the screening of Raising Kane that I went to. Raising Kane is this Brian De Palma movie. The Brian De Palma movie called Raising Kane with John Lithgow. And by the way, I put John Lithgow on my list here of great performances in horror movies. And I picked him in that, and I also picked him. I picked him in two different movies. I picked him in that, and I picked him for his episode that George Miller directed of Twilight Zone the movie. He's amazing in Twilight Zone the movie, amazing. But yeah, at the end of Raising Kane, people started throwing stuff at the screen when it ended. People were booing. They were throwing stuff at the screen. So the two most angry post screening audiences I've ever been a part of have been Halloween 3: Season of the Witch and Raising Kane. 630 area code says the girl from High Tension is great. Yes, she is. It's a fantastic performance, and I love that movie. I love High Tension. 724 says, hey, I love all the low-budget satanic flicks from the 70s, like Race with the Devil, Brotherhood of Satan, and The Devil's Reign. I love all those movies, too. I especially love Race with the Devil. Race with the Devil is great. Peter Fonda, Warren Oates. That is such a great movie. 708 area code, Barbara Hershey and The Entity. Yeah, that's a great performance. That is a great performance. 608 area code says, Nick, I'd like to know your thoughts on Rob Zombie's first Halloween. I thought it was brilliant. Rob Zombie makes terrible movies. That's my opinion. He's a horrible director. He's never made a good movie, and his Halloween is absolutely a crime against humanity. It's awful. He sucks. He's a terrible filmmaker, a terrible director, and his Halloween is absolutely horrendous, like all of his movies are. All right, here are some more of my choices here. If you guys want to jump in for great performances in movies, 312 horror movies, 312-981-7200. I think all three of the guys in Jaws, which I consider a horror movie. It's kind of an adventure movie, but it's scary. It's a very, very scary movie, so I consider it a horror movie. But I think Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw, and Richard Dreyfuss are all great, and those are award-worthy performances. Scheider is fantastic. I mean, he's basically, you know, he's the everyman. He's the core of the movie. He's the movie. He's the audience identifier, and he does a great job. Dreyfuss has a really wonderful, juicy, showy role. People really loved Hooper. And Robert Shaw, man, what can you say about Robert Shaw in that movie? Quint, one of the most charismatic and entertaining, rough around the edges characters of all time. And the USS Indianapolis monologue. As I've said before, one of the greatest monologues in film history, one of the best deliveries of the monologue. And I think all three performances in Jaws deserve more recognition. People love the movie, I know that, but really those three performances really hold that movie together and really add to the effectiveness of how scary it is and how much fun that movie is. But yeah, all three of those guys, man, Dreyfuss and Scheider and Shaw, unbelievable in that movie. How about Bruce Campbell, Evil Dead 2, one of the most entertaining horror performances of all time. He would go on to play Ash in another movie, and then the TV series, which of course features my future ex-wife, the lovely Dana DiLorenzo. But particularly Evil Dead 2, man, it's just such a great performance and so much fun. And I also want to mention Bubba Hotep, where Bruce Campbell played an elderly Elvis hunting down a mummy in an old folks home with the help of Ozzie Davis, who thinks he's JFK. Yes, that's actually the plot of the movie. Oh, yeah, and it's a great movie. But I love Bruce Campbell, especially in those two movies. He gets great performances. Here's another one that's really underrated. Cheryl Lee in Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me. She, of course, played Laura Palmer on the TV series, and the TV series of Twin Peaks was all about, you know, who killed Laura Palmer. And she ended up playing, came back for the Showtime version of Twin Peaks, The Return, which was completely certifiably insane and brilliant and awesome. But she is unbelievable in Fire Walk With Me. It's such again, these horror performances, particularly by women, some of them are like they are really put through the paces. I mentioned Toni Collette, I mentioned Shelley Duvall. We mentioned Dee Wallace, and man, Cheryl Lee, what she goes through in Fire Walk With Me is unbelievable, and she does it at the energy level is at a solid 10 or 11 throughout the entire movie. I really love the performance by Heather Donahue in The Blair Witch Project. And I know people are split down the middle on Blair Witch. I know it's a very divisive movie. I happen to be very, 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 very pro Blair Witch. I think Blair Witch Project is a great movie and a very scary movie. I really, really love it. And I think she's great in it. The whole iconic camera, selfie, camera to her face with the tears in her eyes as she's talking about how scared she is. That's one of those incredible iconic images in horror history. And I really love her performance in that movie. And I think she should be singled out. It's a great performance. If you guys want to jump in with your talk or your text, 312-981-7200. Simon Pegg and Shaun of the Dead is a really wonderful and I think underrated performance. It's not praised as much as it should be. He's not only very funny in it, but he's believable. You believe the guy, you like him. He's a flawed dude. And even, there are moments in the movie that actually brought me to tears when he had to kill his mom, when his mom became a zombie. That played for real. That wasn't played as a joke. That's one of the reasons why Shaun of the Dead is such a great movie and one of the greatest horror movies of all time, because it's not only hilarious, it's not only does it take on, the great cliches and tropes of the zombie movie genre, but it really is in and of itself a great story and a great movie with great characters that's funny and gory, and it's true to the zombie genre. It's also very funny. And Simon Pegg is great in it, and I think it's a great performance that deserves to be recognized a little bit more. Jeffrey Combs in Reanimator, one of the greatest crazy scientist, mad scientist performances of all time in Stuart Gordon's completely insane and over-the-top Reanimator, and then the Reanimator series that would go on, but particularly in the first one. Jeffrey Combs is amazing in that movie. It is such a great performance. Some people might not think Black Swan is a horror movie. I happen to think it is, and I think Natalie Portman is incredible in it. Now, she won an Academy Award for that movie, which was deserved because it's an absolutely incredible performance. But some people don't think Black Swan is a horror movie. Personally, I do. I think Black Swan is a horror movie, and she deserved that Oscar. 847 area code, if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. 847 area code wants to praise Monkey Shines, a great movie. George Romero doesn't get as much love as it should. 815 area code says an older film, Jeff Goldblum and Mr. Frost. Oh man, I haven't seen that movie in years. Goldblum's great in it. 708 area code, Kevin Bacon and Tremors. Well, what about Fred Ward, man? Don't leave out Fred Ward. You're talking about Tremors, you got to talk about Fred Ward and Kevin Bacon. Both great performances. I love that movie. I love Tremors. But yeah, Fred Ward deserves as much credit as Kevin Bacon. They're both amazing in it. 708 area code says, the girl who played Tina in Nightmare on Elm Street was good. That would be Amanda Wiss. Her death scene scared me to death when I was a little kid. Yeah. No, she's great. Amanda Wiss. She's great. Met her several times. She has been to Flashback Weekend many times. Very lovely, lovely woman, and actually really terrific in that movie. So, okay, I've got more here that I want to get to that I'm going to fly through my list here of great acting performances in horror movies. There are a lot more, and I want to fly and get through these. And then if you want to jump in with a call or a text, it's 312-981-7200. All right, here's your weather today. The temperatures will warm into the middle or upper 60s. There will be an easterly component to the winds that will give some cooler readings. And then tonight and the overnight hours, cloudy. Cloudiness, a chance of showers far south, partly cloudy in the north. Tomorrow, cold front will swing through in the afternoon. The temperatures will rise above 70 before scattering showers and a few thunderstorms will arrive in the afternoon and evening. And then for Friday, partly to mostly sunny. Afternoon temps will still manage to reach the mid-60s in most areas. Currently, it is 47 degrees at O'Hare. It is 49 at Midway, 44 at the lakefront. All right, we're going to wrap it up, and I'm going to give you some more of my choices for some of the best acting performances in horror movies. And we'll do it right after this. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we're here until 5 o'clock. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, Sammy, that was our last Wildcard Wednesday. Who requested that?
So that's the Yardbirds. Yep. Over, under, sideways, down from Diane from Chicago.
All right, there you go. That's our last one. We're talking about great performances in horror movies, and I've got a ton more to get to. Let me fly through some more that are on my list here. Anya Taylor-Joy in The Witch. She's also very good in Split. She's also great in Thoroughbreds, which is not a horror movie, but one of my favorite films from last year, Thoroughbreds. I adore that movie. I think she's a really, really strong young actress. She's really amazing. But she's great in The Witch, Anya Taylor-Joy. James Woods in Videodrome, one of David Cronenberg's least accessible and craziest movies and weirdest. And James Woods navigates the insanity beautifully. He's great in that movie, James Woods in Videodrome. Belen Rhoda, who was in the Mexican movie The Orphanage, which is a really scary movie. If you've never seen it, really scary. And she's great in the lead. Great performance. Nobody's mentioned Anthony Perkins in Psycho, which really surprises me. Because he's amazing in that movie. It's a great performance, an iconic role, and an iconic performance in one of the best horror movies ever made. Anthony Perkins in Psycho. Let's see. Here's Ozzy on WGN. Hi, Ozzy.
How are you? I want to mention going back, and not really a horror character, but how about Jason Miller in The Exorcist?
Jason Miller is
that poor guy who had a bad demons in his past, and then he walks into all that stuff.
Yeah, no, that,
and that
Jason
was
Miller,
just a great movie and a surprise movie that scared the hell out of us.
Well,
yeah, and I went to Georgetown for 2 years, and then I went to Marquette.
That performance. By Jason Miller is on my list here. It's one of my favorite performances of all time. It's the heart and soul of that movie. Jason Miller in The Exorcist is the heart and soul of that movie. It's the movie would not work were it not for how strong Jason Miller's performance is. It is an amazing movie. A great movie, obviously, but man, Jason Miller is great in it. I couldn't agree with you more, Ozzy. One of the best. One of my favorite performances of all time is Christopher Walken in The Dead Zone. Which I think it's Christopher Walken's best performance. It's one of the best adaptations of a Stephen King novel. It is also, as I've mentioned several times, whenever I talk about The Dead Zone, I think it's the saddest movie ever made. Yeah, I love it. I love every frame of it. I think it's the saddest movie ever made. Ozzy, thank you for the call. Christopher Walken, I wanted to mention him too. Okay, we mentioned Brad Dourif in Exorcist 3. We mentioned Jason Miller in The Exorcist. Peter Cushing in Horror of Dracula. How about this one? Nicole Kidman in The Others. Incredibly creepy, very scary, great ghost movie, and she's fantastic in it. Bunch of texts here. Let me get to see a few of those, and then I'll get to more of my choices here. 773 area code says, Ray Park is the Headless Horseman in Sleepy Hollow. 708 area code says, has Nicole Kidman in The Others been mentioned? Yeah, I just mentioned it. Loved her. 815 area code, oh my God, Event Horizon. Oh, here's a good one. 708, Bill Pullman in The Serpent and the Rainbow. Really great performance. Really scary movie all the way around. 815 area code, Sergey Lopez in Pan's Labyrinth. 708 area code, I've always enjoyed Kurt Russell in The Thing. I thought he did a great job. He did. It's one of my favorite horror performances of all time. He's fantastic in it. 630 area code says, Marissa Casale in any Argento movie. I love that as the relationship broke down, Argento found more and more gruesome ways to kill her. It's very true. All right, here are some more of my choices. Tim Robbins and Jacob's Ladder, which is a movie that they're remaking, and I don't understand why. But that is a really freaky movie, a really terrific movie, and a really beautiful movie. I weep at the end of that movie, and a lot of that has to do with how great Tim Robbins is in it. Tim Robbins is great in Jacob's Ladder. We mentioned George C. Scott in The Changeling, one of the creepiest ghost movies ever made. Michael Rooker in Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, one of the scariest performances of all time. And Tom Tolles in Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, the great John McNaughton movie, and it's a terrific movie and a great great performance. Here are two astonishing performances. In the movie Don't Look Now, Nicholas Roeg's terrifying movie, Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland. Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland are so, so great in Don't Look Now, and that's a really scary movie, like a really, really scary movie. If you've never seen it, man, the ending of that movie will just knock you through the back of a chair. But yeah, Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland, they also had amazing sexual chemistry in that movie. That's a lot of people remember that, but man, they're both great in it. We mentioned Jeremy Irons in Dead Ringers, one of the greatest performances of all time. Or I should say two of the greatest performances of all time. How about this one? Kirsten Dunst in Interview with a Vampire, one of the greatest child performances ever. She was so great, so deserved a supporting actress nomination in that movie. Like right out of the gate, little kid, she's gone on obviously to make a ton of great movies and be a great adult actress, but man, she was unbelievable in Interview with a Vampire. Marcia Gay Harden in The Mist, which is just a great movie, another great Stephen King adaptation with an ending that will make your jaw drop, but Marcia Gay Harden gives a really, really great performance in The Mist. Kevin Smith's Red State, which is a really terrific movie. The late, great Michael Parks is unbelievable in Red State. If you've never seen Red State, the Kevin Smith movie, it's a really intense, crazy movie. It's a flat-out horror movie. Now, Kevin Smith, obviously known for his comedies. He's known for, you know, Clerks and Mallrats and, you know, Silent Bob, Jay and Silent Bob. But this is a really scary movie. Red State is a really very intense, very scary movie. And Michael Parks gives a tremendous performance in it. Kurt Russell in The Thing. Here's one right here. Christian Bale in American Psycho. Christian Bale in American Psycho is incredible. It's a great performance in a movie that I thought was going to be horrible because I hated the book. I threw the book across the room as I was reading it because I found it so repulsive. And then the movie turned out to be great. They turned it into a black comedy. They took a really awful, offensive, unforgivably terrible book, and they turned it into a really, really great, dark, black satire, very funny horror movie with a central performance by Christian Bale that is amazing. And as we all know, Christian Bale is one of the best actors on the planet, and that's one of his best performances. You got to give a shout-out to Robert Englund throughout the Nightmare on Elm Street series. He created an iconic character. Freddy Krueger is a great, great character. He was very, very terrifying in the first movie. And then as the movies went on, he became more of a caricature with his catchphrases and his smart aleck lines and stuff. But he never wavers, Robert Englund. Robert Englund, again, will be at Flashback Horror Convention. And he loves talking to the fans. And he clearly loves playing Freddy. And so you got to give a shout-out to Robert Englund because of the Nightmare on Elm Street series. And then finally, I want to mention another great female performance that blows me away every time I see it. That's Marilyn Burns in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Some of the best screaming ever committed to film is Marilyn Burns in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't know how the hell she survived the last 20 minutes of that movie. And it is again like those other incredible, challenging, exhausting performances from female actresses in horror movies. But Marilyn Burns, that performance in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre might be the gold standard by which all of the "Oh my God, I can't believe what I'm going through" scary, screaming, outraged performances of all time. And that last, you know, of course, it Texas Chainsaw Massacre has one of the most beautiful final shots in film history, like absolute poetry. One of the final shots of Leatherface doing that dance as the sun is rising with his chainsaw, and Marilyn Burns just in the flatbed of that truck, just screaming her head off and laughing. It's insane. Anyway, Marilyn Burns, great performance. The late, great Marilyn Burns.
Of every single one you've named off tonight, yeah, which one was the ultimate game changer?
Well, I mean, I would have to go. I mean, one of the best performances I've seen in years is Toni Collette in Hereditary. It really is a game changer.
There you go. So,
all right. Sammy, thanks for sitting in this morning, man.